Okay, perfect.
Yeah, okay.
I've got the cookies.
You're on.
Okay, good morning, everybody. I'd like to welcome everyone to the special meeting for the Tourism Business Improvement District. Today is November 19th. For the record, it is 9:10 a.m. I will go ahead and open it up and welcome. We have some new board members here today. Down at the far end, we have Todd with the Gray's Inn. We have Jane Beeman with the Bayfront. Everybody knows Joan Solu, myself, Michelle. Aaron Graves is another new board member. And Taylor Newton down there at the end. We are missing Jack Smith. He has resigned from the board effective last night. So he will not be here. So we will have another vacant position out there in the public. We'd love to have someone apply.
And that's a citizen.
And that is a citizen at large position. So that can be open to any citizen here in Morro Bay. Okay, so we've established our quorum. I'll go ahead and I'll let Todd and the new members just say hello and who they're with and any two little steps they'd like to give. Todd, go ahead.
Good morning, Todd Bassett from Gray's Inn.
You need to turn your mic on and speak into it to pull it up towards you. There you go.
Hot mic. Okay, all right. Good morning. Todd Baston, Gray's Inn, down on the Embarcadero. Happy to be here. It's interesting to get involved at this level, so thank you for having me.
See it at the top.
It's okay.
Hi, I'm Jane Beeman. I'm back on the board. I took a year off, and then the council was nice enough to vote me back on for another year, and I look forward to being part of the community in conversations about tourism and also to reach out to other hoteliers that are not on the board to represent your feelings. Thank you.
Aaron Graves.
Hi, my name is Aaron Graves with the Pleasant Inn and Central Coast Hotel Brokers. I myself am a Central Coast native, was born and raised in the area here, all the way as a little child at the Morro Bay Yacht Club and growing up around the region. I'm very excited to be on the TBID board. I feel that Morro Bay has a tremendous destination that should be experienced for outside guests and responsible growth around here. So I think this will be a great opportunity, and I'd like to give my best input. Thank you.
I did want to also state John Henning, our liaison, did reach out to me this morning and stated he had another meeting with the city and Dave Buckingham, so he did want to be here today, but he was not able to make it. So I just wanted to let everybody, the public, know out there that he did reach out and inform me that he couldn't make it due to another conflict with the city meeting. So we'll go ahead and open that up to public comment. Is there anybody here that would wish to speak for public comment? I do see one person coming to the podium.
Good morning, all. Nancy Castle, AGP Video. Whoops. Can you hear me, dude?
Yeah, I can hear you.
good. AGP Video flying under Art Ghost Places, which is a myself. Finding my own wing, so to speak, as an artist. And I am a community artist, and one of the projects I have become very involved in is Thanksgiving, which is coming up. We're doing a meal. We're expecting 600, but any luck, we'll have enough food. And it's going to be a great party, 1 to 3. Hokey pokey circle outside, jugglers, a sea chanty performer, and then inside we'll have some excellent music to go along with our full-on Thanksgiving dinner of turkey, stuffing, gravy, cranberries, fresh veggies, yams, and pumpkin pie with lots of whipped cream. I'm also asking people to bring unperishable foods, although we do have some refrigerator space if somebody had something they wanted to share, so that we can donate it to the food group, which is the group that is putting on the Monday night meals every Monday night at the Betts Hall from 5 to 6. We've been blessed in the past few weeks that the Gorilla Gardening Club has joined us for the meal, and so our numbers have doubled from around 40 to 80. So we are looking for contributions to our endeavor, and there is a way to make a tax-deductible charitable contribution. But more importantly for this group is the recognition that Morro Bay is actually doing a phenomenal job of taking care, on a small level, it's a small program, but taking care of all of its people. You're aware that there are some communities that are arresting people like me who feed the homeless. You're aware that people get arrested for being homeless. Morro Bay is a very caring community. And I think that if you, the hoteliers were to share that with people in their hotels, and also I have an idea for doing a little sign if you folks would be open to it, letting people know about the Monday night meals, inviting them if they're in town on Monday nights to come by. If they have, leave some money, bring some food, bring whatever they can, because we do attempt to provide for the needs of those people who don't have so much. So I will follow up with Michelle and Joan on this idea and see where we can go with it. What I hope to do in 2016 is to take some time for myself and really do some art and to be a part of the studios tour next October, the open studios tour. And one of the main ways to have a successful opening is to have a little bit of notoriety. Oh, wait a minute, I mean fame. So I'm hoping to do some community projects in the next year. And one of the ideas I've had is asking the community to bring all of their used pens and pencils down to Lenny and Bev's place, the yogurt shop on the corner. And then possibly July 4th, we'll make a model of the old log cabin motel. You must remember the old log cabin, right? Or you two, maybe you're younger. It was where the Blue Sail Inn is now. And it was an incredibly delightful, funky small town thing. I believe the cabins have moved to a ranch. But to bring the community together, and I would work with a historical society so that we could do a scale model of some sort. And it would be wacky, it would be fun. It would be another paragraph in the promotions that you do for the city, that there is an opportunity to join in this. So, you know, it's Thanksgiving again, 1 to 3, the meal on Thanksgiving Day, and I just want to say I am incredibly grateful to all of you for the service you provide and are providing to the community. Thank you.
Thanks, Nancy.
Thank you, Nancy. We appreciate that. Okay, moving on to business. Any other further public comment before I close it? Okay, seeing none, I'm going to go ahead and close public comment. We'll go ahead and move on to approval of the minutes from the October 8th Tourism Business Improvement District Advisory Board special meeting. Hopefully the board members that were present back on October 8th have read those over. And
lovely.
I'm looking for a motion to approve them.
I move that we approve the minutes from the October 8th meeting. I'm sorry.
I second.
Thank you. Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? None. Okay, motion carries. How many do we have here?
Yeah.
Well, I'm can sorry. The other members vote since they weren't there?
They can vote on anything they want to. It's up to them if they want to or not. Or
okay,
they
sorry.
They can abstain as well, obviously. So.
They can abstain as well.
Okay.
Okay, do we have so a quorum if they don't vote from the previous?
Have a quorum because there's a quorum of people here. So,
okay, that's
so
fine.
We just okay. Go ahead.
Sorry. Okay, so motion carries. It sounded like it was 6-0, 3-4, 5-6. There's six of us.
Abstain.
Oh, she abstains. Okay, so we have a motion passed 5-1.
Okay, 5-0
one abstain. One abstention. Okay. Going off here. Okay. We're going to get this by number 2. Okay. So we're going to do this again and we'll do it better the second time. I'm looking for approval of the minutes from the October 27th special joint meeting with City Council. And that was the joint meeting between City Council and the Tourism Business Improvement District.
So moved.
I second.
Okay. Any discussion? Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
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 I abstain.
Any opposed? Okay. Motion carries 5-0 with one abstaining. Okay. Moving on to electronic reader board partnership verbal updates.
Thank you, Madam
Chair. So I'll look over that to Sam for that one.
So this will be fairly brief. So we, what I was tasked with was going to find out if we could, how it would work, what it would look like, all that. And so I got to the Community Development Department and found out fairly quickly that our current rules basically don't allow them. And so we are very interested in making a change to that, that right now the Community Development Department is working on modifications to the sign ordinance in general, and we're working with the local business community to update the interim rules that are in place right now. As part of that update, we hope to modify the issues related to electronic signage. So in a nutshell, the reason is that basically any moving at all on those signs right now is basically banned. You once an hour, probably okay, but for a community reader board where we want to actually share stuff, we probably want 4 to 10 seconds, and right now that's not okay. So we're definitely going to work to make that modification. Once we do that, I'll bring it back. For now, though, we have other priorities, so it's just easier to put it on hold for now.
Can I ask a question?
Okay, so yeah, we'll go ahead and go down the room. Taylor, go ahead. Question.
So was that the problem that Limos ran into with
Correct.
Their sign?
Yes.
So once we made these changes, not only would it affect us, but it would affect other businesses
Everyone.
Like Limo. Oh, that's great.
So obviously we want to follow the rules that we've told other people to follow, so that's why we can't do it.
Very quickly, I'm sorry. I think that the new members are probably in the dark, so I'd like to just bring them up to speed.
Sure.
There was a previous discussion about a welcome sign that promotes the events so we can stop having a rotational banner system in a place like, for example, City Park or Morro Bay Park or Triangle Park, whatever you call it. So there's a large 12-foot by 4-foot banner up that might announce the Friends of the Library book sale or Harbor Festival. We would eliminate those signs and the competition to have your sign placed for a lengthy amount of time, and we would go to a reader board system that had the sign or had the event information and community information passed through. So that's what we're discussing here. So and he just.
I think the reason I'm confused is where is it on the agenda? Right there.
Item five.
Number five.
Right
here. V. Roman numeral.
So I'm trying to think if I even have that one. Okay.
Okay. Any further questions regarding the electronic reader board? So I think this will be a future agenda item down the road. Obviously, not the highest priority, but it will be something I'm sure we'll see back in the future. Any other questions on that? Okay. Moving forward, we will go to review of the transient occupancy tax, the TOT, and I'm going to actually turn it over to Joan since she printed all these great big things.
Okay, so some of the board members may not know this, but we have gone through a series of different formats. I should be careful. The city provides a transient occupancy tax report, which actually our city provides a report that's much more in-depth than most communities. And I think that we've been able to ask for some information to be put on that over a series of years. And the city has been very willing to put that information there that allows us to understand what our ROI is and to understand what we're doing here and gauge what's going on in the city. Having said that, we took that information on our board since we're pretty much focused on producing revenue that creates a strong, healthy community, and we needed to drill down further into that information. There's a series of reports that are attached to this Excel spreadsheet that you don't see here, which I'll complete over the next month and get to Brent and Sam so that they can distribute it to you. One of them includes sales tax information, how we compare to the state, how we compare to the county, and some of those other things. So, having said that, this report goes all the way back to 2010, and these are actual numbers. And the year at the top where it says 2010 is the year ending 2010. We use a fiscal year, so it starts the 1st of July 2009 and goes to the 30th of June 2010. That's our fiscal year calendar, and that's why you see our month starting there in July. And then you go down, you see motel receipts totals, and some of the important information for us to look at, since hotel occupancy is such a driving revenue force for our city coffers, We'd like to look at what that occupancy percentage is, what the ADR and what the RevPAR are. It's you can see that the reason why we chose 2009-2010 is that's the year that the TBID started itself to push money out there to direct market heads and beds and the community in general in partnership with the city. So back then, we had pretty much been stuck at 47% occupancy for about 10 years. We had bounced between 47 and maybe 51, 52% occupancy. We hadn't been able to break the cycle we were in part because we were inconsistent with what we were doing, but also in part because of economic reasons. So in 2011, we had a full year behind us, and we started to break out. Occupancy went up 3 points to 50%. 2012, 2 more points to 52, 13, 55, 14, 60, 15, 63, and, you know, right now we can't really tell where we're at because we're only into a partial year. So in 5 years, we went from 47 to 63, which is a huge gain. It's actually the largest gain of any community in the county. And then if you look at ADR, you'll see that our ADR was at, which ADR is average daily rate. The average daily rate was at 93.46, and it went down to, you know, 90.63, then back up to 95.92, 100, 106, 112, and we're at 140.92 right now, averaging our first 3 months. So, and those are, of course, our first 3 months are July, August, and September. September starts to fall off, but was a whopper this year. And I'd like you to look at September this year versus September last year. And why is that important? Because August, we were down 1% in occupancy and 1% in RevPAR and ADR, basically, August to August, 2014 to 2015. But I'd remind the board that in August of 2014, we had 5 full weekends, and the last weekend included 2 days of Labor Day holiday. And this year, Labor Day fell completely in September. So we see a huge leap again in September, up 14%. Part of that is because Labor Day is always so strong, right? You get three weekend days in there. So I just want to point out that there is balance to that. That's not, you know, it's not a pendulum swinging. It's a lot of it has to do with how the holidays are and how the weekends fall. And we talk a lot about that as we go on. So we have, you can see 915 hotel rooms in Morro Bay that are being hotel rooms. You can see what our TBID collection has been. We always look at the trailer park receipts and the vacation rental receipts because even though they're not being collected for this marketing effort, the destination marketing that brings people into the community really affects them. And I think it's interesting that what we saw with our visitor center reports when we had the visitor center was that there were a lot of folks who asked about camping and RV parks in Morro Bay and that visitor center. Really, really a lot of folks. And then as you go over, you can see the total collections, and you can see that that was one number I missed, so I went back and I hand-wrote it in for you. You can see a potential dollars there should the city move forward with putting vacation rentals and RV parks, creating an assessment district for them and including them in our 3% assessment. We always include that so the city can see and they can see what their monetary contribution would be, and they can understand that they could have an impact on their own future destination. And then finally, out to the right, you see the slow 1% visit slow. That's a new additional line. It's the 1% visit slow county TMD numbers that were posted. So I did include those on this report for the group. As you consume this information, we move to the question period. I think I'm happy to answer any questions. I got to tell you guys, as hoteliers, I think numbers generally citywide are looking really, really strong, really strong for this year. I know that, you know, up and down in October, right? But I think this bodes well for this year's financial future. And so I'll look and see if there's, I'll go to Michelle and see if she has what she wants to do.
Does anybody have any questions? I know for the new board members, this is a lot of information. We always call this kind of our TOT map, which is why it was nice that Joan printed it out. This time, a lot of times we look at it on a computer. But this is kind of a little bit of the history of the TBID and the numbers, which, as Taylor always states, data is very important and lots of fun. So does anybody have any questions or want to make any comments? Jane, go ahead.
First of all, I want to thank Joan for doing this because it's a lot of work, so thanks a lot. And I've got a couple of things that I think would be really helpful. Since we do have 2016, I know that the board does projections for performance of budgets for income and what we expect our goals to be for for occupancy, so I don't know how this stands up to what the goals are. So that would be really nice. The other thing is like, and I've had this question over the years, I mean, 903 rooms, 912 rooms, 912 rooms, all the availability does affect, you know, that percentage would affect what the occupancy would be in a plus or a minus. So how many rooms do we have available to rent? Does anybody know?
I'm going to look to Brent. He might know the exact number, but it does go up and down because people pull their rooms out of order to do
right.
Maintenance.
So I think that when we do projections for income and occupancy, that we have to get a standard. So we have to create a standard of amount of rooms for that performer. Wait, I have one more thing to say. The other thing that I think would be really helpful is that we have seasons. So we have July, August, September, which is a high season. I'd love to see an average comparison throughout the years to see what our growth has really been over the years. And then we have our off season, which is November, December, January, February, March. We could do an average on that of our occupancy and see really what our growth is for the off season. I think that stuff's going to be helpful because it also shows us where we need to spend our money for advertising. So those are my only comments.
So I'll have Brent tell us in just a minute what the exact number of rooms are. I do want the board to note that we average the number of rooms throughout the year, and that's what we have been typically using as a projection. You can see that it's for 2010 we had an average of 915 rooms, and for 2015 we had an average of 912 rooms. One of the other things I'd like to say is that my term ends in January, and we do have a quarterly report, which I did not have time to complete. There is a quarterly report that compares quarter to quarter to quarter, year on year on year on year, just like this. And I appreciate you know, that everybody appreciates the amount of time that goes into this. And I'm ready to hand the keys over to the board member who wants to put extra information in here and who wants to handle maintaining this report and putting the report forward in the future. I'm happy to send you all the files. So if you want to do that and build on the report, Jane, I think that's a great idea.
I didn't say that. What I'm saying is that so for 2016, which was July to June, that this board did a performa, because that's how you base the dollars that you want to spend for certain things. So I'm asking, how many rooms did you base that performa on, and what was your goal structure for occupancy and TOT? Okay, because we have to look at occupancy, because that's the people on the streets that are spending money for the city. So that has to grow also. I just don't know what it is. I was just asking as a new board member. And the other thing is these averages, that should be in all this stuff. We're an advisory board. So all that stuff should be handled through administration stuff. And that's why hats off to you. And when John did it, hats off, you know, to John. It's a lot of work, and that's something administration could be doing, because when somebody proposes a marketing structure or money for marketing, then we can say, okay, so which area are you going to target for growth? Spring, winter. Do you see what I'm saying? Okay.
That's all.
That was my only point.
Madam Chairperson, I fully agree staff should be doing this work. And so at the beginning, I actually emailed Jenna and said, who does this? Because I hadn't done it before, and we're happy to take it over. And I think it's important. One thing, though, I think I might not have access to is potentially, I think there might be some info I don't have access to. Was that related to the
STAR report? And there is access to that STAR report now through the county TMD.
Okay.
We have access to it through the county TMD.
Okay. So I'll work with probably Brendan.
So I found that information out, and I'll help to pass
this
along
to
you.
We're happy
to
do this.
I
think it's important. You are an advisory board. Fully agree with that. There's staff here to assist, and we'll make sure that happens.
Great. And maybe you have a big piece one sheet to print it on. Maybe you have the right printer.
I can't guarantee that.
Okay.
Although Taylor thinks I have fancy paper and printer. So.
Is there any other comments? Great comments, Jane.
Yeah.
You're right. And the quarterly report, it is something that we had looked at before. John Myers had really gotten his, John and his numbers. Because you're right. We all know that our summer months is when we're the busiest. We need to really improve those shoulder seasons. So if we can look at those quarterly reports by looking at the shoulder seasons, because we know that's where we can improve, we should really be looking at that data. I mean, summer's great. We know we get tapped out. But those shoulder months are what are going to be key to seeing us grow is those other months.
Yeah, I mean, we talk about events, and the thing is, we all, as hoteliers, say, I don't need an event in July or August. So, and the triathlon was fabulous because it was in an off season and we got booked. So that was a really great thing to have. So it's all related.
Brent, you had an answer on that question.
919.
Okay, 919.
And, one thing that you don't want to stop from doing, we actually did have to do a mini summer campaign. Just remember, there's new inventory actually coming into the county that is actually open this year, and that did impact a lot of hotels over the summertime. So we can't avoid from not doing any marketing or any outreach during the summer. Like I said, we did do a small little summer campaign end of July into August to help impact numbers. So that's something that we're going to have to look at in when we're talking about, the full strategy.
No, I agree. I do know there's a lot of rooms that have been added into this county. So,
Madam Chair, if I could add, too, because that's a good point. I'm glad Brent said that, because when we talk from the city side, when we talk about the destination, promotion of the destination, so what are the opportunities to us to market during that mini campaign about the events and such that we'll have in the fall and the shoulder season? And I think that's a good opportunity. And I think part of that falls on some of the stuff the city would like to do in terms of helping build new events or help coordinate those and create new partnerships for those activities and events that will occur in the shoulder season. So it all does come full circle into one big, tourism ecosystem. Even if we're doing that mini campaign in the summer, it can still work toward promoting those shoulder season events and activities.
Yeah, no, I agree. Another thing that's interesting, too, is they do say you lose 14% of your business from year on year, meaning we're always having to go out and get new business. So we can't always just rely that, that person came last year, they're going to come again next year. We lose, on average, it's an industry, about 14% of your business is lost. So I do think we need to stay fresh and stay out there and consistent and remind people to come back. This summer was an interesting summer. It was the first time we were not booking early in the days. We were struggling to book by the end of the night. So it has, and I know it's a lot of that inventory between the county that's came in. So I do think we need to not forget that, for sure. Go ahead.
The other part, go ahead.
I was just going to add to your thoughts there, Mr. Haugen, is that even being full depends upon your rev par. So really, what is our rate? And if we can get enough demand in town, we can book a little earlier on, and we can drive our rate a little bit higher and increase our rev par. So just being full is not comparing apples to apples entirely. So having a little bit of an end summer campaign may be a very good thing for rate.
Right. Well, and the other thing, too, is we're really trying to strategically get businesses to be thinking into the future, because what we always run into, summer is a really busy time for everybody, but we also want to influence business into the future. And that has been probably one of the biggest challenges for the Bureau, is to have businesses think about fall in the summertime or think about winter in the summertime, because that's when it's actually the busiest here in Morro Bay. And if you're not influencing future trips or future visits, You do want to try to maximize as much as you can. And we've actually been challenged a lot with that, even with, and we'll talk about this in the next meeting, when it comes to like the holiday events, it seems like everybody's a little bit behind the eight ball this year. We're getting things at the last minute, but really trying to push that information out to influence trips and visits here to Morro Bay.
Yeah, and I think it's a good point to be able to try to capture the people when they're here in the summer, remind them to come back in the winter and things like that. So some kind of campaign for repeat. Okay.
I had something.
Yes, go ahead, Taylor.
Segueing to a different subject from these numbers. So I had a question. I think I brought this up before. On the 2015 numbers, you see this huge leap in the vacation rental receipts. It's almost $1 million. It's $738,000. In rental receipt increase. And I think my question was answered before that had to do with like business licensing or something. Is that true?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, and that being said, one of my things I'm always coming back to with this is that, you know, if our goal is to raise TOT and our goal is to bring more people to town to help not only with hotel rooms but businesses, why aren't we talking about getting the possible potential 3%, I think is what Joan's calling it, assessment from these vacation rentals and trailer parks when you're seeing that it's such an important piece of the puzzle? And I hate that we keep on just glossing over that because when we talk about money, you know, money that was already in the house, we should clean up. And do they not want to do that? Because I don't know an hotel, but from my point of view, when I'm looking at numbers, I want to see everything going towards the goal of increasing TOT. So if we can increase marketing, which is what this assessment, this 3% is for, that benefits everybody. So what do we have to do to talk about that? Why, what, and how do we add this potential assessment?
So that's a great question. And I think as we've talked about the various issues related to tourism marketing promotions, one of the big discussions has been about a future bid and what is that going to look like. And I would say the city staff is very supportive of creation of another bid that would probably wrap that in. I think it's a future discussion. It's part of our long-term plans because I think there's some folks would like this wrapped into the existing T bid in terms of vacation rentals. Some folks are supportive of a brand new bid that kind of supplements it. That would be vacation rentals as well as retail, restaurant, stuff like that. So we absolutely want that to happen.
Okay.
It's part of a long-term economic development strategy, though. It's not going to happen overnight. It'll require us to educate and do outreach to those vacation rental folks, to the retail and restaurants, and that's a big one because, especially for a retail and restaurant, that's a fantastic opportunity to supplement what's happening here with some regional marketing, especially mm-hmm. related to their restaurants and retail. So we're going to keep talking about
okay,
it. Absolutely.
That's all I'm saying.
And Taylor, a little history on that. When the TBID was first formed, and Joan probably has a lot more history on that, but they were at the table. The RV parks and vacation rentals were at the table with us. They were pretty adamant against it, and we wanted it to move forward. We didn't want it to stall because that industry didn't want it. So we said, you know what? Fair enough. We're going to move on. And that's why they weren't. But the numbers speak. I mean, their numbers have doubled since it started. It is very clear that it impacts them tremendously.
Yeah.
And what we do here has an effect on them. So hopefully they will see those results now that it's been so many years. But that's why they weren't originally, is we didn't. It would have maybe not went through, and we wanted to see this happen. Mm-hmm. So the hotelier said, "Okay, we're gonna let you go. We're gonna go for it." They are part of the county TMD, so they are paying the 1% on that.
Yeah.
So, and fair enough for that. And then I know Joan had something else to finish up on the TOT report.
Yes. So with the TOT report, we also look at sales tax numbers, and you all received the sales tax report electronically. The discussion of future bids that Taylor brought up, I want to point out it's why we've included that number here, so we can see where the missed opportunity is that Taylor pointed out, those numbers, rather, for vacation rentals and RV parks. Michelle is right in saying that there was a small but vocal group of vacation rental owners and a small but vocal group of RV park owners, and anyways, the bid did not have the will of the council to move that forward to include those folks. So the plan moved forward with just the hoteliers. In terms of In terms of the quarterly reports, I just want to point out to everybody that these reports run much slower coming from the state than our TOT reports. Our TOT reports here in the city, as you know, as hoteliers, you have 30 days to report your TOT, and then the city reports it to us. So we lag about a month and a half behind on reporting. The state is a full, I want to say a full quarter, but sometimes it's better than that getting to us. I mean, it's basically, when we talk about the glacial pace of government, I'm sorry to say that if there's any state workers who can hear me, but they're moving like melting icebergs in a blizzard. I mean, it's not, it's just, that's how fast they move. And it doesn't really help us to drill down on numbers. We're about two, I would say right now we're about two quarters behind. On, and so it's, it frustrates as we move these reports forward, but we are about two quarters behind. But retail, and this is very, very important for you to look at. The very first page of the HDL report, and I'll show it here, has the top 25 producers, top 25 sales tax producing, revenue generating businesses in Morro Bay. It doesn't break them up by segments, but the top 25 producers, it is not lost on me, or it should not be lost on this board, I should say, wow, that of those 25, 17 are restaurants. Of those 17, 13 are on the Embarcadero and are visitor serving. And of the retailers that are there that are non-grocery related, there is one, and they are on the Embarcadero and are visitor serving. And of the retailers as a whole, all of them are what you could say are the regional hub for the North Coast for those types of activities, which are the grocery stores, AutoZone, and I believe Miners is on here.
It is.
And then the other backfill to complete the 25 are the gas stations, which serve every visitor driving out of town to drive back to their destination. They have driven here. They have got to get home. They have got to fill up and get out of here. So of the sales tax revenue that is provided to the city through the cash register ringing, about 40% of that revenue comes from tourists annually. That's a number that I think the city agrees on, that this board agrees on, and that most retailers agree on. About 40% of their revenue comes from tourism or from visitors. So, for example, Spencer's gets a visitor from Cambria, and they fill up their grocery basket, and then they fill up their gas tank, and they drive home. That's a day visitor, but that is somebody who is inclined to shop in Morro Bay. That segment there, the top 25 producers, is this front page of this HDL report, for me, is an argument for the city to invest in a shop local campaign. And that's where I'm going to leave that statement.
I would agree. I was just talking about that recently. I think we need to be the hub for the North Coast, and I think that's a future discussion. But being said that, anybody else want to bring anything up on the TOT, or we could talk about this for about another hour?
Yeah, only thing I want to add,
interesting to us.
The only thing I want to add is that the other day I mentioned at the chamber meeting, although people were talking, was that I would love to start a buy local campaign, and one of the first things you can do is like a buy local scavenger hunt, and we need to do stuff like that. So I'm familiar with that from where I last came from, and absolutely agree with you. I want to do more of that.
So hopefully we can connect the dots on that and try to move that forward. I know last year, not last year, but the year before, we had done something small for the holidays, working with the chamber actually on that. It's been 2 years now. But so I think we forget that there's a whole North Coast up above us, Cambria, Cayucas, and they need to go somewhere to get the, you know, windshield wipers for their car, or you know, get a dress for an evening out. We need to put Morro Bay more in their forefront so that, you know, it's another 30 miles from here to San Luis. Let's save them a little bit of time. So I do think that's something for a future conversation. So moving on, because we've got a long day here, boys and girls, is there anything else on TOT report? Okay.
Hello?
Yeah, you're on.
Okay. I just wanted to thank Taylor
for bringing up the idea of leveling the playing field, because every visitor that stays overnight walks the streets. Mm-hmm. And yet, I also have to remind everybody that just because the city wants to start a BID for something else or level the playing field, unless the players agree to do that and understand the benefit for it, they can say no. So that the burden for marketing every dollar for this city to come here is on the hoteliers. Yeah.
We've been preaching this for 5 years, so but we're moving forward, so that's good. We're talking about it, and hopefully some of the hoteliers and restaurants will see the success with these numbers. We said this was an experiment when we started. We were going year to year. Here we are talking about it again in our next discussion. So I do think it's good that the conversation's there, and hopefully you're right, though, Jane. They've got to be able to meet halfway. It can't be we can't do all the work. So hopefully we'll get those partners down the line. Okay, so I'm going to go ahead and close the TOT report and move us on to the next one, which is discussion and direction to City Council regarding city tourism, marketing, and promotions management. So this is a big one. As everybody knows, Sam has presented all of us with a staff report. I will remind everybody that the City Council, and Sam, correct me if I'm wrong, is not seeing this agenda item till January.
Correct.
I do think this is a very big thing, especially for our new board members. I do not think we necessarily have to make a recommendation today. I think we should all discuss this. I think we should talk about it. But we do have a meeting in December, so we could have some great discussion here, to have some good collaboration. Maybe when we're done, reach out to our hoteliers and come back in December for a recommendation. The council isn't seeing this till January, so they have given us a little time, and I appreciate that they've given us some time. I worry a little bit for the new board members because this is a big, big topic, and it's a very big issue that's affecting the Tourism Bureau and the entire city. So I just want to caution. It's not to say we can't make a recommendation, but I know me personally, I think that this is a really big step and a big recommendation we're going to make, and I hope council will really listen to what we recommend. So I want us to be very thoughtful and think this out very well, and I do want to remind us we don't necessarily have to come up with a recommendation by the end of this meeting. We can push it off to December, and then they would see that, and then we could present it to them, and they would see it in January. So I just want to bring that up, and to remind everybody, too, this is in regards to the city being basically the Tourism Bureau being put under city basically under City Hall, I would say, and that's the staff report that was presented to everybody. They should have received that, so hopefully everybody's read through that.
So, Madam Chairperson, would you mind if I give us a little bit of a staff report?
Please, go right ahead. Yes.
Right, thank you. So, just to recap, as the Chairperson said, the recommendation from staff is that you provide a recommendation to Council related to this issue, and what we're trying to do is respond to the Council's adopted goal. And then their request to us, which I'll get into in a second in terms of the history, regarding an alternative management model for the city's tourism promotions and marketing. So with that, obviously, earlier in the year, in February, the City Council adopted 10 different goals related to various topics. And one of those goals is related to fiscal sustainability, basically economic development, and that's goal 6. Under that, then they adopted 73 different objectives related to those 10 goals. And one of those objectives is G under Goal 6, which is to evaluate, analyze, and present to Council alternate models for partnerships between the City and both the Chamber of Commerce and Morro Bay Tourism Bureau. Obviously, many of you are very aware that we've been working on this since about June, and we've had numerous conversations with community members, with hotel stakeholders, with board members here. We've had several meetings on this topic, both at this level as well as the Council. At the September 22nd Council workshop, staff partially completed the goal given to us by Council by presenting alternative model. And in essence, what the Council said was, thanks for presenting, you know, the high points. Give us the details on how it would work. How would that management model actually work? So we are trying to basically finish out this goal and respond to that request from September 22nd of the Council to show them how it would work. In the interim, what we've been doing as staff is working very hard to meet with stakeholders related to this issue. I think at this point we've met with about half of the folks, half the hotel rooms, in essence, so a little less than half the owners, since there's folks with multiple properties. Sometimes it's been a little bit difficult because we don't have local owners and their managers haven't been necessarily interested. They've been busy, frankly, and they don't want to meet. So we've been trying to talk with them where we can, but we're very appreciative to the people we've met with. With that, so I don't belabor the point, I'd like to just get into the detail of what we're looking at. And I want to say a lot of what we've developed here is based on the feedback we've received from the hotel community. We've been trying to make sure that even though we've been asked by the council to develop an alternate model, we want it to work for as many people as possible. And when you're talking about community conversations, it's always going to be a balance between various, you know, forces and opinions. And so no one's ever going to probably get their way perfectly, but we want to try to have the most balanced thing that'll work for the most people. Part of this conversation for staff, too, is, and you're going to see, and I'll get into a little bit more detail, is that we are proposing to put in a rather substantial amount of general fund money, transient occupancy tax, back into tourism marketing and promotions. And we fully recognize that there are some community members that might wonder why. And I think that the TOT discussion we just had is a very good illustration of why we're proposing that. When you talk about economic development for the city of Morro Bay, it is an undisputable fact that tourism is absolutely the number one economic generating machine in this community. And while we are looking to diversify our economy, and we're going to do that through an economic development strategic planning process we've started to embark on, that doesn't mean we should ignore the main engine of our economic development. And so that's a really important part, and I'm gonna keep reiterating that for the months ahead, that this is why we're proposing that, is because it's just crucial. There are folks in this community that sometimes, I would say, tolerate tourism as opposed to support tourism, but I hope they realize that everything we do related to police and fire, to our streets, to our parks, is largely supported by visitors. And so we're doing what we can to bring in more visitors to enhance their experience. And by doing so, that'll bring in additional revenue, and that'll enhance the quality of life for our residents. There's a rather substantial report from the Destination Marketing Association International that talks directly about economic development needing to be more intertwined with destination marketing, with tourism promotion. And I think as staff, we fully agree with that. So with that, the highlights of the alternative model, I'm going to go down the bullet points in the staff report. And again, many of these are directly came from folks we spoke with. What we're looking for is to have you listen to this, consider it, and let us know what you think does or doesn't work in this. What should we add, you know? To start, obviously the main proposal of the alternative is that the city is going to do its own tourism marketing promotions from now on with expert tourism staff. So rather than contracting with an organization, we would be doing it in-house. That expert staff would be contracted. They would not be direct employees of the city. That was a concern we heard from hotelier stakeholders regarding costs related to administrative expenses for this. That helps us keep the costs down and affordable. A big reason why city staff have been kind of liking this model and working on is to create additional efficiency with ideas we have that we've also heard from the hotelier stakeholder community related to brand management, related to event management support. Rather than doubling up on those types of initiatives, it makes sense to streamline it. So what I'm trying to do with this is basically when we have expert tourism staff, we'd be empowering them to control even more of some of the stuff that city's doing related to economic development, really get them in the fold and assist with that. The TBID advisory board obviously would remain. That's required by state law. And we want to, in the past, we had the community promotions committee. And they did work that kind of got wrapped in, but then sort of went away because of the funding aspect. I think the funding that we're proposing would allow us to have this board, I guess, empower this board to do even additional work. Getting into the funding, and so this is, you'll see on one of the pages a chart that reflects how we would do this, but we're proposing basically a 5-year goal related to a $300,000 investment from transient occupancy tax. Again, taxes generated directly from hotels and visitors. That would go back into tourism marketing promotions operations.
It would be really important for us as we work on the annual plan that's required, as well as hopefully a strategic plan related to this, that we develop how that funding will be utilized. And so right now we're not necessarily trying to be explicitly say it'll go towards administrative costs, it'll go towards regional. That's a decision that we really want. We want a recommendation from this board in the future, should that money come to fruition or this model come to fruition. You would develop that goal. You would develop the recommendation related to the full budget and that money, and then that would go to council. And hopefully we'd be working on that in concert with staff, and we'd all agree. And that's always the goal is agreement. And that provides, I think, a more robust recommendation to council if we do that. The way we came up with the $300,000 is we took the most recent fiscal year's collection. It was about $2.9 million, $2.8 million, and we just rounded up to $300,000. And we went to the PISMO model. So PISMO puts in general fund money from TOT as well. It's 10% capped from a previous year, and we would do the same thing. We would work up to that $300,000 annually, starting with the $60,000 investment in year one, and then taking 20% of any new funding and putting it into this. So based on what we did was we took what we've heard is a very low projection for increases in success. We took an 8% increase year over year in TOT, and we said so that's what you'll see in the chart. Every year it's increased, the TOT is increasing by 8%. Obviously people want it to increase more. I think, amortized? I heard that. we've just done it 8%. And then we've said, year over year, we'll take 20% of that and put it back into this. That gets you to the $300,000 by year five. And then we would cap it. But annually, then, we're spending $300,000 in TOT directly back into the operations of this economic engine. Another highlight, the Tourism Division professionals will be provided with office space at 695 Harbor Street, which is a city-owned facility where the Chamber of Commerce is co-located. We're interested in continuing to enhance the partnership with the Chamber of Commerce. We're hoping to save costs for tourism marketing promotions operations related to some administrative costs related to rent, utilities, telecommunications, accounting, legal. So that's pretty much it in a nutshell. There's more to it. I'm sure you've read over it. Welcome conversation. This is really important. The council gave us a goal, and we're trying to respond to that. We're trying to put together an alternative model based on their interest, and we want to make sure that you have healthy say in how that model looks. So this is what we've developed based on a few months' worth of conversations with stakeholders and other folks, and we welcome input.
Okay, thank you, Sam. So what I'm going to do just for order and time is I'm just going to kind of go down the room. I think does anybody have any questions for Sam or staff? Okay, Taylor's no. I'll go ahead and go to Aaron.
First question is, I'm getting up to speed here. With the proposed model, then, what is the formal powers that the TBID board does have over governing the funds? Are they just general recommendations, or is there a chain of authority there?
Sure. So in essence, yes, it's a recommending body. Okay. The advisory, it's an advisory body to the city council. So the city council would rely on this body to do several things. And under this proposal, we've kind of enhanced the authority of the TBID in terms of staff evaluation. But the TBID board would be working in concert with staff to develop the annual report and annual plan for how these funds are expended. I think what we're hoping, and there already are long-term goals developed, but I think it would be helpful, I think, to the council and to city staff to develop an actual kind of long-term strategic plan, whether that be in-house or with other folks. Maybe that $300,000 helps assist with other professionals coming in to give us an outside perspective on that. I don't know. There's always hypotheticals and stuff to consider when we're trying to be creative. So we would develop those proposals with the TBID advisory board. They would provide a recommendation to council related to that. It's fairly similar to what happens now in terms of an annual report being developed and brought to council, and the council approves it. So fairly similar in that regard. What's different, I would say, is I think there's an opportunity here with some of this funding, and again, that'll come down to what this board recommends, to perhaps do some additional regional we can't do now because the city took that money away in the past, frankly. Would this money help bring some of that back? That would allow this board to think more thoughtfully, I think, about some of the stuff that we just can't do now because of the available amount of funding. This board would then also have some accountability power related to the staff. So what we want to do is make sure that, you know, annually this board is reviewing the performance of staff based on whatever goals or metrics we set, and provides a recommendation to the city manager related to that staff. Any new hiring, this board would be heavily involved in reviewing new hires and making recommendations related to the tourism manager.
Okay. Thank you.
Any other questions, Aaron? Taylor, you
not
got any yet?
I have. I mean, yeah, I have something to say. Should I say it now?
Yeah, go for it.
Okay. So this is kind of just my summary of my comments on this whole topic. So when I'm reading through all this stuff and going through these discussions that we've been having for a couple months now, the general goal that I keep on getting as a citizen is that we want to increase TOT, and we want to increase business sales tax. And currently our focus with our MBTB is hotel rooms. And I think that you see that certain businesses really benefit from our current model, but we'd like to see other businesses benefit. So when I'm looking at making changes and if those changes benefit the goals, one of the things I get concerned about is using general fund money to do this, because I feel like that goes away from the goal of increasing general fund money. So that's one of my concerns. So if the use of general fund money increases the TOT, well, then that was a good thing. But if not, then it wasn't a good thing. So when we're looking into the projections of the future of what our projected TOTs could be, that's where the equation is in my head. Is it a smart use of our funding or is it not? Is the change necessary is essentially what I'm saying. And then the other big thing I keep coming to is this focus on making the Chamber of Commerce, making changes to make that work better, and especially for me as a small business owner, because the nonprofit I run has a retail store, and I would love to see general fund money or tourism bureau money benefit our little business and get us more people coming and thus increasing our sales tax, which is my goal number two. But again, like, you know, when you're talking about the money coming from hotels, I feel like the only model that makes it fair is if these small businesses are paying into some kind of bid. So without really going into all the details, that's kind of the summarizes my point of view. And when I'm after the day is done and I put all that big soup of information together, I'm not convinced that the change that we're talking about is clearly going to do that. I feel like you could make changes with the current model adjustments that would do the same thing, maybe faster and with less use of general fund money. And that's my big fear, is I don't want to see us decreasing the pool of money that we need for streets, police and fire, trees, water, these big issues. Which is the long-term stuff we're talking about. That's the big concern in the future. So that kind of summarizes what my point of view is on this, and I'm not seeing it clearly yet. I don't feel like there's this really strong argument. It's kind of gray for me, and maybe that's hashing out the details over time, and that's what we're doing. I think that's what you're saying, and I like the way you said it too, that you've been presented with these objectives and we're trying to figure out a way to reach those. But I'm just not clearly seeing it yet. And it brings me back to what I was saying before. I feel like there's things in-house that we could clean up first before we try to make these big changes. And I would feel safer, especially with such a successful series of years of increase, with us making small adjustments instead of making a big adjustment. But if the big adjustment does show that it will reach those two goals that I'm talking about, well, then I would be on board.
Elaborate on Mr. Newton's thoughts. Have we actually done a SWOT analysis strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats on this proposal?
No.
Okay.
So to respond to Taylor, because that was some good statements.
There's a lot of stuff there.
Of course. So that's okay. So related to the – it is absolutely true. It's general fund revenue. I will be very bluntly honest. I'm referring to it as TOT on purpose because I want to remind the community that this revenue, although a general fund revenue source, is related to the vibrancy of our local tourism. And it's very clear that our TOT is doing very well. It's continuing to climb. I would say both through the direct marketing that this organization's, the Bureau's doing, doing very well, along with a lot of other strategic planning that the city's working on and some strategic investments we're making, that it will only continue to grow even further. And some of those things I don't know that I can talk about right now because they're in escrow, I guess. Mm. Maybe not fully in escrow yet. I do know that yesterday bankruptcy court gave us some property that is a big opportunity for the city. But when we talk about those strategic investments, I think staff believes that this TOT input into tourism market promotions is another strategic investment. The city was doing it in the past, and due to the recession, basically took it away. And I think also because of the TBID assessment, just said, well, we don't have to do anymore because we have TBID funds. But when we're talking about being more thoughtful and tactical about how we do economic development for long-term success of the community, and when we're talking about the success of our tourism marketing promotions for the hotel stakeholders and the community, it just makes sense to make a strategic investment like this back into it because it is our top economic engine. The more people that we have here, the more we can build the destination through both the marketing as well as creating the destination, which is part of what the city can facilitate, along with community partners, the chamber, and other organizations, the more sales tax is going to grow, the more TOT is going to grow. And over time, it has been. I mean, you can see all the figures that show all of this is growing over time. What we're interested in is sustaining that and hopefully even increasing the growth rate of that. A lot of this can be very long-term. Some of it's short-term. But a lot of it is going to be long-term investments. We have a lot of opportunities that are coming up. The property I just mentioned, the wastewater treatment plant is going to be leaving the waterfront, and that's 26 acres of visitor-serving land that will, you know, go back into circulation. It's a huge, a huge opportunity for the city. We're looking at the a strategic plan considered a strategic plan right now for. Both the downtown and the Embarcadero, a link between those along the Centennial Stairway area. Right now we're in the conceptual planning for that starting next week, I think, with RRM. We're talking about the Embarcadero Promenade plan as well. Those are all going to go hand in hand. So there's a lot of different things that we're working on to enhance the destination that will go hand in hand with the marketing of Morro Bay. This TOT aspect, I think, is important for the city to make that commitment, to make it clear that we're committed to continuing to enhance this economic engine. Related, I fully understand that you're having difficulty understanding why we wouldn't just make adjustments to the model. And I'll be very honest. I've had conversations with folks where I've thought similar things. But I guess it comes back to the fact that the city council adopted a goal, right, and so we're simply working to respond to that. And to do it in a thoughtful, professional way and with stakeholder input. I think that's really important to this process. That's the exercise we're going through right now.
Thanks, Sam. Aaron, any other comment? Not that I won't come back to you in the future, but just double checking. I'm going to go down to the end. Todd, I know you're kind of new. Comment, questions?
So what the city's hoping to do is take some of the general fund money, throw it back into advertising, hoping that that advertising will attract more people, thereby increasing future TOT, thereby replacing the money that you used from the fund for the advertising in the first place.
Correct. Yes and no. Let me be really clear. We're not making a suggestion about how that funding should be expended this time. It shouldn't necessarily be advertising. It shouldn't necessarily be administrative expenses. I think it's really important that when we make that investment, that the TBID Advisory Board really has a thoughtful look at how that money can be expended to maximize the opportunity and what it means for, you know, the benefit to the community. So, you know, we know that there's an opportunity for the city to have more skin in the game on this, and we should. We should be showing a commitment back to the hotel stakeholders Because in the end, it's going to benefit the community. So this is a strategic investment that we think will be beneficial. How the money is expended has not been determined. And this board will have some authority to make a recommendation on that. To really, we rely on our advisory bodies to really be our experts, you know, and to put expert eyes on things and to make really detailed recommendations to the council. And so the council really relies on the advisory bodies to do a lot of the legwork for a lot of these issues. And obviously, with this current council especially, they're still going to get in the weeds on it too. But that's your job, is to get on the weeds and how that money will be spent in the future.
Okay.
Jane.
Well, first of all, one of the things that we have done was demonstrate that any dollar investment, no matter where it comes from, that we have increased TOT with every dollar investment. And if it's 10%, so $30,000, which to me is a drop in the bucket, would equate to $3,000. You get your $30,000 plus $3,000 more back into the general fund, just, you know, in the patterns that we've done. So that's a return on investment. The one thing that I would recommend is that we do postpone this. I think we do also need a lot of information back from the city manager and from Sam. I think accountability is going to be a key issue. I mean, right now, if we are spending 28% on admin through our funds, through TBID funds, I'd like to know if that's going to increase or change and how. Like, are there plans to use money for feasibility studies, which is not part of what's going on in TBID? Feasibility study for whatever it is, a new hotel or for a visitor center on the Embarcadero or something like that, is that going to bring dollars back to the streets? Okay. I would like to see percentages set. And that, again, as an advisory board, we have to be given the opportunity to look at your model, you know, and that type of thing. And I agree with Aaron completely that we need impact reports, pros and cons. I mean, you're asking us to be an advisory board, which is all we are, because just like the, you know, and all of the advisory boards, we can advise, but we would like to advise based on more concrete ideas, you know. And also, city council, that doesn't mean just because we advise that they're going to approve it. So it's, again, a partnership, communication. I'd like John Heading to be very much involved in this since he is the liaison. And again, we have this communication going back and forth because he can give us more feedback as well as city manager's office. So I would like to propose postponing.
Should I respond? I wasn't sure if that's a motion or if I could respond to some, because I have some answers now, and then I think we can work on more because I think it's...
Well, I think just shooting out answers, I'd like to see something in writing.
Sure, let me do some answers. Yeah. I think that's important. So we already have gone through an iterative process related to why to make this change. That's the September 22nd workshop directly addressed the staff perspective of why this could be beneficial. So while we haven't done an official SWOT process through strategic planning, we've addressed pros and cons of this, and I would say that there are some stakeholders who have very vehemently addressed some of the cons of this. So that discussion's occurred, and I think what the council's asking of us now is to shore up and provide actual detail about how the model would actually work. You know, it appeared that they addressed some of what maybe they felt were benefits of an alternative model in the past, where we discussed, and I'm happy to send to the advisory body one more time the PowerPoint presentation. I'll actually send you a link to the website section, which I think has the staff report from the last discussion, as well as the PowerPoint, which addresses a lot of what you're wondering. Related to the administrative costs, you discussed that, and you wanted to know if there was going to be a change. How the money's currently expended is addressed through an annual plan, an annual work plan, which is required by state law. And that process will continue with the TBID Advisory Board and staff developing that plan and then being approved by council, again, as it already is. That also goes into, there's two things about the feasibility study aspect. How the money's expended, whether it goes into studies or planning, that needs to be in the annual work plan. For instance, actually, to be very honest, I was going to bring to this meeting, or I think the Tourism Bureau meeting for this one, a request to put in some money for a feasibility study for the aquarium that's going to go in. And then I pulled it after I reviewed the rules one more time and realized that the current annual plan does not provide for any funding or any notion of all of funding for something like that. So if it's not in the plan, can't be expended. And this board would directly address what's in that plan, obviously then with approval from the council. I think since 2010, when this board, when it was created and when the work plans have been developed, the council has approved them annually, maybe with little to no modification. So I think they have been relying on the input of this board. But you're fully right. All advisory bodies are advisory. The recommendations don't have to be followed 100%. But I would say 99.9% of the time they are. When you get into the more controversial issues, and that's whatever the issue, that's when folks are going to disagree and there's going to be finessing of issues or disagreement. And I think we have to be honest about that. Related to having the administrative percentages set, we're happy to do that if the board has the thought on setting administrative cost thresholds. We're happy to do that. There was a previous discussion a little bit about that. It didn't get wrapped into this because we modified how we were proposing to expend TOT in the process. I think that's it.
Can I just ask one more thing and then I'll be done? You said that you've talked, based on the staff report and model, that you've talked to various hotels.
Correct.
Okay? Hoteliers. And so with the information that you have, have you revised this at all? Because there were cons, so how have you addressed the cons, you know, in, so do we have a new report?
So we're mixing up two things a little bit, so let me clarify. So the staff previously wrote, issued, authored, and published a staff report related to an alternate model. And that was part of the discussion by the council on September 22nd. At that time, we did not provide any detail about how the alternative model would look. We discussed why we could go to a new model or what would be the value of that. Based on that, the council then said, okay, thank you for letting us know why we should switch. Tell us what the detail would be like. So that's then this process. Before we wrote this staff report, we had a bunch of meetings with local stakeholders, and we're continuing to have those. We're appreciative that the council pushed this off till January because we'll keep trying to meet with folks. This proposal, as shown here, reflects the thoughts of the folks we've spoken to. And we will continue to meet with people and get their thoughts on this. And we want the thoughts of this advisory body, and we'll continue to modify it. Or, you know, if you have something that's, you know, 180 of what staff is recommending, we'll have a discussion about that. And it could be that your recommendation doesn't match staff's, but we're going to bring that to council, and that's up to council at that point. What I'm hoping for is that we're going to be able to work on this together to come up with a reasonable alternative that works for the vast majority of people. So that's, I think, the goal of this process. We want to give the TBID and especially the stakeholders, you know, ownership of this. And I think that we saw that in the TMD discussion that wasn't going to go through here initially. And when they came back and said, how can we make it work for people, that's when people got on board, at least the majority, to make it work. Some people said no to it, and that maybe we're coming around. I don't know. So that's my response to that.
Joan.
Is it on? Okay, sorry, thank you. Sorry, just working out logistics here. So first of all, thank you, finally, for a more in-depth staff report. I would have liked to have seen a business plan attached to it, because I have concerns for accountability. And I want to say this straight out. We need to be calling this the assessment district funds. There are about 37 owners whose businesses pay into this. It's not a large amount of folks. It's a very small amount of folks that are doing the lifting for 10,000 folks in terms of driving current economic development trends for our community. So while I understand that this is a quasi-governmental process, meaning we are partners with the City of Morro Bay, which is a government. In other words, they are the entity that collects the funds for us, and then we work to push business into Morro Bay and make those funds grow the following year, make the bottom line grow for those people who are participating in the collection of the assessment funds. And that includes the City of Morro Bay because they are participating in the collection of the funds. So, and I think that, you know, I would say, like I said before, this has been a very successful project, I think, for the community, for the city, and for the stakeholders. The assessment fund project has worked very well for, in terms of economic development growth in tourism. I have a few questions and concerns. I have quite a few questions and quite a few concerns, and I'm kind of a person who prefers to ask the question than hear the answer, so I can digest that and see if I have another question that may follow. So if you'll humor me, I have some questions on the staff report, and maybe we can...
Absolutely.
Okay. So I wasn't sure if... Okay.
No, please ask.
So that's okay. On bullet point number two, it says cost savings. The city will be able to reduce administrative overhead of the Tourism Bureau organization, for instance... extraneous expenditures are no longer necessary for housing, tourism staff, attorneys, IT audits, or accounting. The city already provides these services. The tourism staff of the city would reside in its facility at 695 Harbor Street. This represents a combined cost saving of $20,000 to $30,000 per year, which can further focus expenditures of TBID assessed funds into tourism promotions and marketing efforts. On that, I'm... On cost savings, the rent to the city, the rent that the city may give to the Tourism Bureau, the rent that the city may give to a professional tourism management team is a savings of TBID dollars, but it's a cost to the general fund. And the reason it's a cost to the general fund, is this not right? Could that building not be rented?
Go ahead and ask your question.
Could the building be rented?
Are you talking about 695 Harbor Street?
I'm talking about 695 Harbor Street. Could it be rented as an addition to the general fund?
It could be rented in addition to the general fund, and at this time, the way it's rented is for $75 a month to nonprofit organizations.
Okay.
But what we're looking at for the long term for that facility is that while the chamber's in there, we're very interested in having our actual own staff in there. It's a city facility, and you know, at various times the city, depending on the cycle and what we need in terms of staff, our staff shrink and grow. We just hired code enforcement officers. Right now they're being thrown into the police department as opposed to actually being with community development because we have a limited amount of space. So space is precious to us, and we know that in the future that we need to get the space back for our own use. And it just so happens that should this alternative model be adopted by the council, we would use it for our staff for this.
So in here it says that the cost savings would be $20,000 to $30,000 per year on attorneys and administration fees, correct? So I'm on including attorneys' fees and accounting fees. So am I correct in assuming that the city then would not charge administration fees at all for Ms. Slayton's services or for the city attorney's services back to the BID?
Correct.
And would the city be willing to put that into an MOU for the stakeholders?
The city would be willing to put it into the resolution that we adopt related to this process. Absolutely, yeah. Which is so just to be clear, so for this alternative model, as we develop it, what we hope to do is to bring a resolution that outlines each one of these points to provide that commitment to the stakeholders. And in that, we're happy to talk. And, I mean, that's a bullet point for a reason, because we want to make sure that it's outlined that we're going to have these savings. The city doesn't debit each department for the work that the finance department does. The city, you know, we have a general fund expenditure related to the attorney, and then that attorney also is paid out of various enterprise funds for utilities. You know, when he works on water sewer issues, he's paid out of the water sewer fund because it's an enterprise fund. Those are self-sustaining. When he works on the harbor stuff, he's paid out of the harbor fund. It's an enterprise fund. It's self-sustaining. This is a general fund. This would be a general fund endeavor, so we'd be paid out of the existing funds. It's very unlikely. I mean, there's no increased costs for him to do that work. There's no increased cost for my IT staff to do that. So I managed IT also for the city, and we're actually working on additional cost savings right now. So right now we're very well positioned for IT, for finance, for attorneys.
Okay. So in terms of reducing bureaucracy, I'm just curious what happens if the city manager doesn't agree with the recommendations of our expert tourism staff that we're working with. If the city manager or the deputy city manager doesn't agree with that person who's believes that they're following through on a recommendation that this board made, what background experience, no offense, does the deputy city manager have or does the city manager have in tourism that would allow them to make a decision over the top of that expert?
Thank you for the question. So you and I had a kind of direct conversation about this too, and it's a totally fair question. And so it keeps coming back around to the annual work plan. You know, what is this board recommending to the city council in terms of the work that's going to be done related to the expenditure of these funds? And then what has been adopted by the council? Once that's set, then the staff is authorized to make those expenditures, and it's important for that staff to be able to do that. The city manager generally does not lord over staff for any department. You know, he's a fairly busy guy. We're expected to do our work. And we work under adopted policies, goals, and objectives of the city council. We work under adopted budgets. Once this body and the council adopt the plan, that's what's going to be worked off of. I think that is important, as I think about it, though, just to be honest, that it would be good, and maybe that's where this, you know, I keep giving you hypotheticals, so I want to make it clear that these are only hypotheticals. When we provide additional funding, if we do, from TOT to this, it would be important for us to have a, you know, I think a healthy expenditure line so we can have some rapid responses. So, like, for instance, for Amgen, the city manager has $30,000 in economic development funding already adopted that he had the authority to say yes to things. And that was helpful for us to make that initial commitment to Amgen and say, yep, we can do it. I hope that we can try to have some type of contingency fund like that here, too. And I think you have a little bit of that now, but maybe this funding supplements that. There is, getting to the second part of your question related to what kind of experience we have, I would very honestly say that the city manager has never worked for a destination marketing organization or done any marketing whatsoever. And I've never directly worked for a destination marketing organization. I do have a degree in journalism, which involved classwork in radio, TV, digital media, in marketing, in PR. I spent a decade as a journalist, and I've worked in communications for a decade. That's both working to get cities noticed and other organizations noticed in the media. So I'm fairly familiar with this, but I've never done destination marketing directly. I can speak toward marketing fairly well, though. But it's I'm too busy, however, to do this all. There's no way for me to do this. I would prefer to have an expert tourism manager to actually do this work and to rely on their expertise for what we should or shouldn't be doing. Right now, when the city manager asks for something related to communications, related to a city function, he doesn't typically just go, do this. He says, Sam, what do you think? Because I've spent a decade, you know, working on those things and thinking thoughtfully about how we tell our story as a government, and he relies on my expertise to do that. Our intent is to be no different for this expert staff, that we would rely on their expertise for how this should be done, and relying on the expertise of the hotel community for ways to enhance it.
Okay. So in terms of Amgen, you brought up my next point. Amgen's a great example of the Amgen approached Paso Robles. They approached the TBID Advisory Board, who falls under the city's who does not have a separate tourism marketing contract.
Correct.
They are not set up with a contractor and the flexibility to do things in tourism that are going to drive tourism. And the tourism body was approached with having the start of Amgen occur in Paso Robles. They were willing to do so. They thought that would be a keen idea for their, you know, for their community. And their recommendation went up to City Council. and the city council denied their recommendation for a tourism marketing program. How does, in the staff report, it basically says that it enhances the authority of the TBID board. How does placing the tourism marketing program and moving away from the current model that we have enhance the authority of the board?
So when we talk about enhancing the board, these are kind of two separate things. What we're talking about is giving you additional authority related to local promotion, event planning, brand management citywide. Right now we have a brand for tourism, we have a brand for the city, and we probably shouldn't do that. Let's bring it together. We want the TBID board and our expert staff to work heavily on the planning process for that branding. When we talk about making Morro Bay a destination, what does this community look like right now? We have, I think, 7 different versions of the signage around town. It's kind of embarrassing. You know, a lot of it's really old. What can we do to enhance the destination of Morro Bay through branding, logos, and all that? That should come through this board. So we want to give additional authority to this board to help us work on the actual destination itself, not just focusing on the marketing promotions, but the actual destination. And that's a lot of what the city does. That's enhancing that partnership. When we talk about, you know, event management, special event management, the board recently has talked about that as well, giving assistance to community partners related to event management, helping them with special events. The city had been talking about that too. Why double up? Let's have the TBID work on that, you know, with expert staff and have that staffer, whoever that is, manage that person. Should we hire someone else to do that? There was the second part. There was another portion to that question related to, I think what you were trying to get at too is, well, we can still be overruled. And I think we have to honestly acknowledge that that's probably the case. This is an advisory body. But it gets back to, I think, the historical and traditional way it's been occurring, both because it's legally required and then the traditional way. We're required to have an annual plan. How this money is expended is through an annual plan. Mm-hmm. The city council says yes to that, and they have been. And this board has been pointing out that it has been. And so I think we want to recognize that you're totally right about that. They'll continue to do that as they have been. And they've not made modifications to that. So I think that right now there is good partnership related to them relying on the expertise of the staff of the Tourism Bureau currently and the TBID board and the Tourism Bureau board.
Okay. There's thank you for that answer. There's a line in here that says the city manager has spending authority to provide for quick execution of budgeted economic development expenditures up to a threshold of $125,000. As an example, the city was quickly able to commit to Amgen Tour of California. For me as a hotelier, $125,000, and I'm just saying this because I'm terming out, guys, any expenditure, your recommendation needs to be accountable. That large of an expenditure item is a quarter of your budget or 20% of your budget. And I think if you have programs that things are allocated to that, you know, are really going to drive heads and beds for your stakeholders, that's an awfully large number. So just be aware of that. And so questions, let's see.
So if I could respond to that really quick, I'm sorry, is that okay?
Sure.
I think the point of why we're saying that is because there's been criticism that we can't act nimbly or rapidly. I disagree with that. I think the city manager disagrees with that. We're trying to illustrate that we have the ability to move quickly based on recommendations and adopted policies and procedures. The city manager doesn't just decide to spend money up to that threshold. He spends that money based on adopted budgets, policies, right, procedures, of the goals, objectives. It would be the same with the TBID advisory board and the work plan. If the tourism manager comes to him and says, we want to spend this money, the city manager is going to sign off and let the tourism manager spend that money. It allows him to work rapidly, and it allows us to not have to go back to the council for something they've already given the budgetary authority on. And so I think that's the point of that. It's not that we're trying to say that we're going to abuse stuff. It's the fact that we can act rapidly in a way that folks were concerned about, that we couldn't.
Can I ask you this question?
Please.
Do you think we have the ability to act rapidly now?
I do.
Great. Let's see here. Oh, yeah. Okay. I'm just curious if you have a cost recovery formula for all this. If you have, I know you have a ROI number, you put a chart together. I'm curious on the numbers. We have a little math that we did, and that, the number, but
the fiscal year 2021 number that we have there. The fiscal year 2021 number is basically July going from 83% occupancy to July going to 93% occupancy, and the ADR in July going from 142 to 170.78. And I'm to be honest with you, I'm just not sure that that's achievable. So
are you talking? You're talking about the revenue projection chart.
Mm-hmm. I'm talking about the revenue projection chart. That's a huge. I just want you to be aware.
Without adding inventory.
Without adding inventory. So in order to reach that number, it's my personal opinion that this community would have to add inventory, hotel inventory, which I don't think is a bad thing. Other members of the board would probably disagree with me, but I've long said that we could put another 200 hotel rooms in Morro Bay.
So
please put your guns down.
Let me answer that. So one, I think we probably are going to be adding some inventory, and that'll be coming soon through a planning process. The second part of this is, so maybe I should clarify what this chart is or how we got to these figures.
Right.
So if you recall, and I'm sure you do, there was a previous consternation related to the city showing a chart at the last at the September 22nd meeting that showed 3 to 3.5%. And what we were trying to do with that chart was show, here's what TOT has done over time, just naturally. Here's what it did. It was very flat up until 2010. The TBID got involved, and then it shot up. And what we did was we then said, if inflation had simply been 3%, here's where it would have gone. And so the point with that chart that the city manager had developed was to show that if we had just naturally grown, that's where we would have been. So that was that chart. So there was some confusion from the stakeholders about that chart, what it meant. Some folks, and I'm not saying anyone here did that, but there were some folks who contacted us or raised concern thinking that we were setting that as a goal of some kind for how we wanted to collect stuff, and that was not the case. So it did cause confusion. Throughout that conversation, there were numbers thrown about from other folks about, some folks said if that was the goal of my folks, I would fire them, and we were, so we're trying to correct that. Yeah, that was someone on the board. So what we did was we had heard that anything less than 8% would be an utter failure for year-over-year increases. And I think you and I had a discussion about it should be more like 14%. Mm-hmm. But what we're trying to do is we're trying to make a commitment to throwing TOT back into the operations of this. And so we're trying to come up with a reasonable way to project the revenues in a conservative format, because we're the government, we're going to be conservative in our revenue projections always. We never want to overextend ourselves with expenditures. So we took the $3 million figure from the last year, we rounded up to that, and then we said 8% increase year over year is going to be this much. 20% of that is going to go into this fund. But our first year, we're going to put in $60,000 instead. So each one of those years is an 8% increase year over year. And it was based on the input we got to say that anything less than 8% is failure. So we decided, although the city's projection for management partners is lower than this, we relied on the expert opinion of the stakeholders who had given us input to say it's got to be no less than 8% for it to be successful, and we think it's going to do more than that. So we just simply set it 8% for this to put money into the fund. Mm-hmm. It's again, it's not our goal. It's simply we're setting a projection so that we can give you to illustrate for you the process of how we'll get to that $300,000 figure over a five-year period.
Okay.
And technically, it could happen faster, obviously. If we put in the resolution that it's going to be 20% of what are the – if we're going to put in the resolution that it's 20% of the increase, it could happen faster. It's going to be 20%. But 8%, it just so happened when we set it 8%, then we did the 20% thing and it ended up being the 300, because as you see, it's actually 352,000. So it actually will get there faster than 5 years, it looks like from this, and based on what I'm hearing, the 14% even faster.
Okay, so is city staff only willing to put this money in under this model, or are they willing to put this money in to produce results under any model?
We welcome input from the board.
Okay. And see here. And this is a question that popped into my mind much after I put all these other questions together. Can you, and this is kind of off the cuff, and I don't know if you'll have the answer to this, can you tell me, is we used management partners' recommendation to base this goal on. Is that correct? The city used they used a management partner's recommendation to
set our TOT figure?
To set the TOT figure, but they also used a management partner's recommendation to streamline tourism operations and look at to create this goal. Is that correct?
Gotcha. So there's two different reports. So the management partners did a study for us, a management study they do for many communities to look at for efficiencies and streamlining of operations. In that management partner's report, they did make a recommendation to take tourism under the wing of the city, and you'll see I've cited that in this. Mm-hmm. They did a separate study that's the city's 10-year budget forecast.
Right.
And so that 10-year budget forecast is where they were forecasting the TOT projection.
Correct.
And in that was a mini recession, basically. There's a recession of some kind typically every 6 years.
2017.
So, yeah.
Their forecast. Okay. So on the team of consultants for management partners, do you know if they had someone on that team who was a professional in economic development, tourism specifically?
I do not know the answer to that.
That would be interesting to see who had the professional background to make that recommendation. I'm just curious because, I mean, if they don't have the background and the experience to make that recommendation, they're making the recommendation, why are we sitting at the table discussing it? That's a question that just popped into my head. In that recommendation, we've come down to the staff report. In the staff report, staff chooses to model after Pismo Beach, who added new rooms over the past 5 years, new room inventory, I mean. Staff is saying that it's, you know, a pretty nimble model. I passed out earlier today a letter from Carolyn Batetta that was received September 21st, 2015. And since we don't know if management partners had any professionals, I think we could all consider Carolyn Batetta, who is the head of California tourism for the state of California, appointed by the governor, a tourism professional.
Is she an economic development professional or just a tourism professional?
May I
please have a copy of that? I don't think I received it.
I'm sorry. I brought one for you. Oh, no, here it is. Here's an extra copy. Okay, sorry about that. In here, she talks about travel powers California's economy. Our state has enjoyed two consecutive record-breaking years in terms of travel. 251 million travelers spent $117.5 billion in California in 2014. More than 1 million California jobs are directly supported by travel-related spending, and travel jobs can't be outsourced. So there's an entire report that's attached to this where she drills down into how Visit California was formed and why it was formed and who pays into it. And the reason why it was formed was to create economic development and talks a little bit about their 30-member board of directors. The important paragraph here is the infusion of dollars is vital to virtually every community across our state. In 2014, visitor spending poured $9.3 billion into state and local government coffers. Tourism Economics, Dean Runyon's associates, was cited for that. And they are a consulting firm that is professional to tourism. The spending generated by travelers ripples through many industries. More than transportation and lodging, travelers generate spending at restaurants, museums, parks, and retailers. In fact, 70% of visitor spending is at businesses other than lodging. And finally, in Morro Bay, the transient occupancy tax alone generated $2.9 million for the city's general fund last year, thanks in part to successful tourism marketing campaigns managed by the Morro Bay Tourism Bureau. The city increased its TOT collections almost 16% from fiscal year 2014 ending to fiscal year 2015 ending. That increase outpaced other communities in the county, including San Luis Obispo, Pismo Beach, Paso Robles, and Grover Beach. Morro Bay also outperformed the state as a whole, where overall TOT collections increased 12.3% from 2013 to 2014. And then she goes on a bit about tourism marketing. So I would consider her an expert professional. I mean, above any other expert professional probably in our state, or equal to the highest level expert professionals. And she is citing that we have outpaced every other community in our county that is structured under this. So I agree with Aaron. I think that we need a SWOT analysis on this. And I think if the city really wants to move forward with a different plan, that we need to hire an expert tourism consultant who has a background also in economic development that's based on sales tax growth to give us a recommendation on what actually will work best for our city. I don't think any of us here have an answer.
Do you, just to be clear, it sounds like you don't have any inputs related to the request by staff to let us know what you think about this alternate model. I just want to be very honest about this. Let's be blunt about it. We've several times now have asked for these inputs. Several of the things in the staff report, to be honest, have directly come from you, Ms. Olu. And I think what we want to make sure we're doing is responding to your concerns, absolutely. But we've also made a request for you to give inputs, including at meetings, about this. And I just feel like I'm not getting that. And that's fine if you don't want to. But I want to give you the opportunity to do so because we want to make sure that it works for as many people as possible. That does not preclude you at all from sharing your concerns with council. That's totally 100% within everyone's purview here. And if you disagree with this completely, make that your recommendation. That's fine. But we want to give you the opportunity to actually have say about this. What this feels like more is just kind of a gotcha game, and I'm not here for that. So I want to be very clear about that. I have no interest in doing that. This isn't a judge and jury thing. I'm here to support you and provide you with information and work with you on this model.
I'm glad because I wanted to get through my questions first before I come up with a recommendation.
Okay, thank you.
So I appreciate that. In terms of any follow-up questions, under the model that is proposed, there's a flow chart.
And that, I believe, came from the previous staff report or the PowerPoint.
This flow chart?
Correct.
Yeah. So there's a flow chart in here. And I just have a question on the two boxes. There's there's your position, the deputy city manager. Then under that, there's business retention and expansion, business recruitment function, and then there's the tourism ops and integration and, you know, the little green box lit up. Can you tell me about these other two boxes and how I just need to understand city staff's perspective of how and why those are connected and what aspects would fall, I guess, into tourism or in relation to tourism, how that I see that the boxes are linked, and I want to understand from your perspective how and why those are linked.
Sure, thank you. So in terms of just traditional economic development, the things that folks like I work on, and if you go to, I'd invite you to go to especially CalEd's website, California Economic Development, awesome organization that really works on economic development issues. The traditional model for economic development works on some kind of specific legs of a stool and then develops policies, procedures, strategies to help enhance those legs of the stool. Those legs typically are, business create. The traditional three-legged stool model is business creation is kind of by itself. I kind of like to put it under retention and expansion because that's you're talking about kind of your internal. So business retention and expansion, oftentimes referred to as BRE, is part of that model where you're working to support your existing business community through a variety of ways and strategies. Then you have kind of your external economic development, which is recruitment. And maybe that also means business creation. So creation kind of falls under both internal and external economic development because you can either bring in new business folks. Typically, what you find, 90% of all creative businesses in a community are created by people that already live there or who have visited, actually. In Morro Bay, we're unique because of how amazing our tourism operation is that it's and such a vital part of our economic development engine that that's really part of our it's its own leg of our three-legged stool. Maybe it should be four legs if you throw creation as a leg, but I keep it under Bree. So in that regard, my responsibility at the city is full economic development. My typical focus is related to those other legs of the stool. That's what I generally work on and do. I work on recruitment. I work on telling the story of a city. I work on demographics. I work on strategic planning. That's my background. I have a master's degree in public administration, which includes strategic planning and program evaluation. What we're hoping to do, though, is to continue to enhance our economic development portfolio with tourism by having expert staff manage that aspect of it. And so what I'm really hoping for is, yes, I would oversee this person, but my real goal with any person I ever work with is it's a partnership. And so that the things that I'm working on are going to be hopefully strategically aligned with the things that person's working on. And the opportunity we have to really enhance this is through the economic development strategic planning process we're setting up for right now, which I'm very appreciative that Brent and you have been involved in, because tourism is so important to that.
Okay, so I will wait until I guess we get into discussion before I make recommendations. Is that what we're doing? Coming back around for discussion?
Yeah, well, everybody will get one more shot. I'm going to get my shot. Okay.
Sorry.
Thank you, Sam, for being here. And you're kind of on the hot seat, so I'm going to try to not keep you on the hot seat. I'll try to be nice. I have my notes. I know. I'm just saying. All of us. We're all asking him questions. He's on the hot seat. He's answering all these questions. So I'm just going to kind of go through, kind of like Joan did. I went through the staff report and kind of made some notes that I had some questions on. Huge concern for me is that we are something that was brought up. We're a recommendation body. We're not much of authority. That concerns me as a stakeholder. I understand it, but it does concern me. And part of that is that history we've had of there's been a lot of recommendations made by this board that have not been followed through by council. So that, I mean, I know it's a new day and I want to be positive and hopefully we have a new council now. So I'm not trying to say that won't happen, but that is a concern I have. As a stakeholder, it concerns me that basically I can spew, scream, holler, kick my feet up and down and have a tantrum, and it's not going to mean anything. So council may not listen to me and might do their own thing. So that concerns me because they may not be a professional at what I'm screaming and hollering about. That involvement, to me, it's a partnership. It's a 50-50. And so, you know, if there's any way that we could try to – I'm not saying I want to overrule council either. In no means am I saying I want more control with them, but I would like to be able to have a true 50-50 partnership, not necessarily – and I get it. Right now, council it overrides us. I mean, council is in charge of this board, so I do understand that, but I just – I need to feel that there's that partnership a little bit with – figuring that out. So maybe there's a way we can figure that out. I don't want to just give feedback. To me, feedback is kind of like, yeah, well, I'm going to, you know, my kids give me feedback. Doesn't mean I'm going to always agree with them. So that was kind of thing one. The other thing I've got a question on, thank you, Joan answered a couple of them. So earlier there was some mention about like the Amgen thing, the $30,000. So that just, I'm pretty sure I'm correct, but that $30,000 came out of general fund, in the future, if we had Amgen come up again and you had said that Dave had in his own coffers, okay, he was able to spend $30,000 on development. That wouldn't come out of the TBID funds in the future. That would still come out of general fund.
Correct.
Okay, just clarifying that.
Let me clarify that, though, because there's always opportunities to enhance the partnership. So even though we have the ability to cut to 30 right away, the Tourism Bureau, which currently has our full spending authority because we basically just cut you the checks every month for the TBID assessment funds,
right.
We did then have to go to you and request support for the hotel aspect of it.
Right.
So there still might be opportunities in the future where the TBID assessment funds could support events in that way, whether it's paying for the hotel rooms like it did this way. But we would want to make sure that we have that discussion with this board.
And that's what I'm saying. That's what concerns me. Thank you.
Sure.
I think you're getting it. And I know we're kind of in dialogue. I hope that's okay.
No,
but,
yeah, totally.
Is I don't want to be like, oh, well, we've got Amgen. Okay, we're not going to go to the board and ask for the $16,000. We're just going to say, oh, they can just do it. And
I
want to see that there is, to me, in every business, there needs to be a checks and balance. It needs to be that, okay, the city's going to put in the 30, but let's check with this board and let's, you know, what if we all of a sudden were like, you know, for some reason we didn't want to and we had some information maybe that we knew that they didn't. There's that partnership of we would want to have conversation and be at the table. I don't want no offense to the DOT at the time, but I don't want him just making the decision, I'm going to write a check for $16,000 for Amgen without the board's conversation.
Sure.
And that's where that accountability comes in, yep. And that partnership comes in, is we need to have those discussions. I mean, of course, we were all on board and we thought it was a great idea, but what if there comes a day where there's something that we don't think is a great idea? How is that going to look and feel? And yep. that's a concern I have.
That's a very great question. I think when it gets down to the nuts and bolts of it, and people in the hallways of City Hall have brusquely mentioned to me, well, we can just kill this if we want to, and it gets down to that.
Yeah.
If you're not happy with the way expenditures are going because we decide to go away from the board, there is a way to deal with that. It's not a fun way that anybody wants, right? So I think that there are mechanisms that we should recognize, allow the stakeholder community, if they're not pleased with the way it's going, and hopefully it's always positive and you're continuing to see benefits, there's a way to address that. So I think it's just easy for me to say that there's always going to be a staff commitment to work with you, because we should. It's the right thing to do. You are the stakeholders. The law recognizes that this is about benefit to the stakeholders, and we need to do that. So the other aspect of that, too, is when you have expert staff like, you know, Brent or whoever, the staff member that works as a liaison is always going to be an advocate for what you do. You know, so I also work on REC. REC is always kind of the stepchild in the government, even though it promotes quality of life gangbusters. My job is to be an advocate for recreation and to be an advocate with the board. You know, I'm actually going to go to a REC. My day starts with a meeting and it ends with a meeting on pickleball later. You know, and it's my job as a staff member is to be an advocate for that function. Hopefully a staff member of this will continue to be an advocate for this function, for tourism, for economic development, and to work hand-in-hand with the TBID Advisory Board and stakeholders.
Okay, and I think that's where, remember that, because that needs to be in that
always.
Resolution that you're
that's
talking about.
That's a great whereas. We need to have that in there to really recognize that partnership.
And I won't lie, I will tell the board, when we saw, and I will say thank you, because when I saw that feasibility study come up, and I immediately went, here we go.
I knew you were going to have an aneurysm. I know.
Here we go. And so I will say thank you, Sam, because you did. And that's that is where a checks and balance is so important to it.
It's staff's job to stick up for that, right? And so I did.
You earned some big brownie points in my world.
It's easy to get excited when we're looking at stuff. You know, I mean, that project would be really cool. We'll make it. We'll work on another way.
Yeah.
You know? But we're always looking for opportunities for that partnership, you know, to say that the stakeholders had a big part in that. There's other opportunities, but it's our job to look at the law and make sure we're respecting
it. Right, and don't get me wrong. When that feasibility study's done and that comes up, our job is to market and promote
absolutely.
Whatever is put there. So it's not to say we don't have a place in it.
Yep.
I do not, and that's later in here, but I really am huge, and I know the hoteliers, you know, they do not want to see a lot of money going to reports and studies and workshops and things that we know the public's important, and believe me, we want to hear from them. But to me, that's the city's job. Our job is to market and promote. I mean, the biggest thing out of this is I want to touch every consumer we can. We have got to market and promote this destination. Spending money on administration and studies and things that go up on bookshelves is not going to turn the wheel. Yep. And that's where I'm really big on when we get through this, that needs to be solid in there.
Yeah, I love that you say that too, because to get back to Taylor's point of, you know, kind of questioning that TOT investment, I think that gets back to that allows us to do some of those things that I would say the stakeholders consider the existing TBID assessment a little bit more inflexible than that for specific reasons. We want to market. We want to really stretch every dollar we can into success. Will this allow us to put some of that into other things, you know, the general fund money that we might do? That might allow us to enhance what you do with your TBID assessment.
Okay. There was one comment in your staff report that I just want to clarify. You had put, it's on, I'll just kind of read it and then you can help me. As of now, the TBID technically only meets quarterly for fiscal oversight, which in my mind, we're all one board. We meet every month. We're on the TV. So I do know you put technical in there, so good job on that. But we are the same. I just have to point that out. While all decisions about tourism, marketing, and promotions occur monthly through the Tourism Bureau Board, which you put, this had caused questions in the community with many people confusing these two bodies, which have different missions. And I'm sorry, but I don't feel like we have different missions. So that's one thing I'd like clarified.
Let me clarify that. Thank you. So I guess the way city staff looks at it right now is that, and I think you heard this from a council member at the September 22nd, kind of their viewpoint's probably similar to this, is that right now the TBID Advisory Board is providing the oversight role for the funding. And then with another hat on, you're basically executing. You know, you're making all the decisions, which is a little weird that you have the people making the decisions also doing the oversight, but that's what we have. That's fine.
Okay.
And does that make sense?
Yeah, so
when I say mission, I probably have used the word mission. House. That's not an appropriate word, just as I was writing, obviously, quickly.
Right.
It's not an adopted mission or anything like that. It's just when we look at the functions of the two boards, I think that's what staff's view is of them right now. And it kind of plays into the contract as well. You know, the contract says, do our marketing promotions, I'm going to cut you those checks.
Okay. And thank you. That's a great clarification. That was a perfect way to clarify. Now I understand it. I was just trying to figure out what that meant.
Sure.
So then moving down on that, you know, I know everybody keeps pulling apart this chart. I'm not going to pull about the chart because I'm not the numbers gal. What concerns me and what I would like to see, and I know I'm asking for the world, I would like to see commitment no matter what TOT does, because what I feel is what's happening now is we're asking to change our model. We're asking to change. And if it's not successful, mm-hmm. we're being punished by the money. And that to me isn't fair, because we're not the ones wanting the change. The city wants the change. So I personally would like to see a commitment year on year, no matter what, because it's not if it. This change will affect a little. I hope we want, you know, if the change happens, we want it to be smooth. But, you know, I will give my recommendation later, and my recommendation is not to make this change. And I'll go into what I would recommend and what I would like to see change. But if it, I think going away from the nonprofit, and that's, I guess I'll just jump into that. To me, a nonprofit has a different culture than a city culture. Mm-hmm. So to me, if I'm just anything in advertising and marketing, it's a little friendlier to go to a nonprofit than it is sometimes to come to a city. And the reason I bring up this culture thing is kind of right now I'm in the middle of having to help out with some of my northern properties. And it's been interesting. I've been to several meetings up there, and I've been going up there, and they have a different culture than the way I run my business down here. And we want to change that culture. And so I do think that having the nonprofit is a very inviting place for people to come to. It's not so city-like. In hospitality and in tourism, it's a lot about touch, feel, customer service. It's about, you know, I have people that stay with me because they like me. I have people that stay here and come here because they've gotten to know our staff. And I'm not saying city staff are mean or not nice, but it is a different culture. If there's a new business that comes into town, they may go to that tourism bureau knowing that it's a tourism bureau and that there's not that layer of, you know, when you think city, sometimes you think, oh my gosh, are they going to have code enforcement out at me? I did this or that. It's just a different feel to me. And I'm just being honest because I'm I have no problem with city and I'm comfortable going to them, but I do think there's a different culture that's there. And, in my perfect world, I'd be flipping this. In my perfect world, I would be saying, Sam, what do you want us to do for you in the city? Give us your money, and we—and I don't mean money, but I mean city. Okay, partner back. To me, this seems like we're going backwards. We're going back to the CPC days where we're going through. And I know we have a community promotions committee. Sorry, I keep forgetting. To me, we have—I do understand we have different city staff. We have different city council. So we have more of I think you all understand now how important tourism is. Mm-hmm. We have been screaming for years that tourism is so important to the city and nobody's been listening. So I'm excited that you guys are on board. What I would like to see is for the next year, the city coming in with the current structure and working with the current bureau to bring them under the bureau, meaning the city's, we're working in partnership more. And I've said this a couple of times that I don't feel we've had enough time. You being at these meetings every day have made me actually want to come to the meetings again, because I do feel like we can partner better. I feel for a little while there was no partnership there. And so this conversation's great, and I love it. I know it's been backbreaking a little. I feel the process hasn't been perfect, but that's why it's so successful, is we're getting through it. I would like to see more of the bureau. We're contracting out with the bureau, and then what is it that is wanting added is being done through that bureau. I just think from a cultural standpoint, out in marketing, look at Visit California. They're a 501c6. And look at who they have added in with them. They've got attractions under them. They've got car rentals under them. Restaurants, retails, travel is all worked under Visit California. They're not under the state. They're not under private. They are a private nonprofit, and it's very successful. So that's a side note. And then I'll keep going through my staff report because that kind of sidetracked me. I had a couple other questions, so that's somewhat my recommendation, but I'll come back
to
it.
Thank you. No, that's great. This is good. That's progress. I like it.
Yeah. The other thing is, I think Joan kind of alluded to this. I would love to see kind of what down here you have your bullet points of following the recap is the alternative model. So I'm just kind of going through questions I have. What plan? It says that I understand there's a lot of regional stuff that wants to get done. I think that's great. It's, again, there was the first year we had when we were first formed as a nonprofit. The first year, so everybody who's not been here prior, we received $58,000 for regional marketing. So to me, this is going back to where the city, you know, obviously we wanted under city, but we had $58,000 for regional marketing, and then we had our TBIT assessment, and then we had our visitor center funding, and we had three budgets, and we allocated out those three budgets. So I am a huge believer in getting into local. I think regional has been something I've been very bummed that we have not been a part of. I love connecting those dots, and I think it's vital, and I think it's important. The consumer that comes in doesn't understand the difference between regional and non, and why not get Cambria and get people going. So I like that. With this, though, it talks about the advisory board will have input. My thing is, what is the plans? What is the extra add-ons? You know, what else are we going to be tasked with type of thing? Is just, you know, I'd like to see a plan for that, and I know you don't have the answer to that now, but I'd like to see some of that. Okay, commitment, I already wrote about that. I will be blunt and honest, I have a very big concern about sharing space at 695 Harbor Street. I voiced that a little bit with you in your office, and I'm not going to get into huge details, but I do feel like I've heard through the Rumorville, and correct me if I'm wrong, that their latest director is no longer with them. Is that true?
She is leaving. They're working to hire a new one.
So they're looking to hire another one. What I'm concerned with, because I run businesses and I have to help out other hotels here and there, is that for the general population, when they come over to the Bureau, there's not going to be a delineation between the Chamber of Commerce and the Bureau. And some of those things are great to have no delineation, but sometimes there needs to be delineation. If the Chamber doesn't succeed in something or fails in something, I don't want that to look as if it's tourism or that it's us. I know, you know, I'm trying to be careful about how I say all this. I just don't, there needs to be delineated lines. The Chamber is a paid membership. They have theirs, to my understanding, they have the visitor center contract now. They're getting $50,000 from the city for the visitor center. So I'm happy to get the Bureau with the visitor center, but are they also getting funding for economic development?
No.
Okay. I know that was last year.
A few years ago, I don't even think last year, a few years back, they did receive funding specific to incubators and some other projects. We all recognize they imploded a little bit. We had an interim city manager at a certain point, and that funding was drastically cut and then basically evaporated.
Okay.
So they have not had it for the last 2 years, I want to say.
Okay. So I just have concerns with that. Do I think we need to all play in the sandbox? Of course. I've been saying that for several years. In fact, way back when we first talked about even having the visitor center, I do think that it forcing some of that is good, but I also think that there needs to be clear representation and clear delineation as well. Also in here in the staff report, it says all agreements in place as of November 17th, 2015 will be recognized by the city. This means the Tourism Bureau should not execute new agreements without direct city approval between now and May 2016. Can you clarify that for me?
Yeah, so obviously there would be concern if the city council wanted to take this in if for some reason there was not an agreement about who we partner with or contract with, that a bunch of contracts would be let all of a sudden. So that's just trying to cover bases. It's not that we think it would happen, just trying to be very clear that we would want council to, I guess, reaffirm any agreement prior to adoption.
Any agreement?
If you're going to go up for a new marketing firm, you're going to spend $270,000 with them, we would recommend that you bring that through council for saying yes.
So here we are.
Well, because every ad we place is an agreement. Everything we do is a contract. That's why I'm concerned
not
when you say that.
We're talking about the large contracts related to the marketing firms, PR firms, stuff like that. That's what I want to be clear about. Don't rent. This wouldn't happen, but don't rent new space or something like that. You know, we just want to be careful about large expenditures prior to a transition.
So day-to-day operations, we would be running day-to-day. I mean, right now, technically,
you could do
we
it.
Have approval.
100%.
Right. So
it's more cautionary than anything else.
Okay. Just getting clarification.
Now right. The contract does say, though, so if the nonprofit is dissolved, the city would recognize the contracts. And so I guess this is more of a respectful request than anything else.
Yeah. And
so we would need to be able to write that in a way that recognizes that you have – I don't know how we would really do that, but we need to write in a way that recognizes that it's more of a request than anything else.
And I will be very clear with everybody on this board, and I reached out to Sam too. I have told him as chair this year, every agenda – I'm coming to him. Reaching out to him, bureau agenda and TBID agenda, and him and I can work as chair and for anything moving forward, just so that if there is anything that he sees red flagged or I see red flagged, we can work on that. So that is one thing that I reached out to him in an email. Joan and I had sent an email out requesting some time for this extension, and that was one of the guarantees I had personally made that I would do moving forward in the future. So hopefully we would see something new on that agenda and talk about it then, but... Nice to get. I just want a clarification.
Yeah, thank you.
The next bullet point on here said the city will begin working with business communities. Again, this goes back to Taylor's point with the BIDs. I think it's huge to get vacation rentals, RV parks in this mix, obviously. And my question would be, at what expense? Is this going to be at our expense moving this? Because it does require a little bit of money to get moving forward with additional BIDs. It's not, you usually have to get John Lambeth down here, you know. Is this something?
You're wondering if we would expend current TBID assessment on that?
Yeah.
No.
Okay, perfect. Just clarifying.
Heck no.
Okay, just making sure. I didn't think it was, but you never know if there's loopholes. So I want to trust the system. I just like to get it questioned.
There are no loopholes. I think I made that clear with my pulling off the feasibility
system. You won me big brownie points. I've told you that really, that helped me. I was about to go crazy. I'm sure you saw me in my office.
I pictured
screaming.
An aneurysm. I was a little concerned. So.
Yeah. And it was nice. It was, I hadn't even gotten to it. Yeah. It was nice that I didn't have to
I'm
have
sorry.
The aneurysm.
I'm sorry for
so
raising
much.
Your blood pressure for a brief amount of time.
Good thing I've got low blood pressure. And then last on the chart, Joan kind of brought this up. There's the three-legged stool per se. So just to be clear, and I'm sure I'm correct, but I just want to clear it, we would not necessarily be paying for business recruitment and expansion and retention.
That's what the question was. No.
Yeah. Okay. And that was a little – I'm a little bit more
blunt.
You're not – yeah.
So the things – I mean, you don't pay for my position.
Right.
You know, REC doesn't even pay for my position. I'm a general funded position.
Okay.
So that's where you see the arrow, TBID assessment dollars goes directly to tourism. It doesn't go into the other ones.
Perfect.
And sorry if that wasn't clear, but we tried to make sure it was clear that that money is going directly into that and not the other things. It's more related to the management.
Right, and I do agree. It is not fun to drive through the city and see different signage. I mean, I think you and I have talked about this. This is partly why several years ago we wanted Visitor Center under our wing, was we wanted more of a focus, more of a funnel, more of the same messages being sent out there.
Sure.
So I do see that. I acknowledge that, and I totally get it. Couple other last questions, and then I'm going to finish up because I'm sorry. I know we're like an hour late, but I feel like this is really productive. Visitor Center. Where can we just – I know that there's probably a lot, but currently, obviously, it's manned over there at the Chamber of Commerce. What role, if we're going to be housed in that same building, what role is the TBID going to have in Visitor Center, if any, and how do we see that or none at all?
That's a great question. That's the first question today I haven't even contemplated.
Okay.
So let me think about it a little bit and talk to the city manager. Just so we can be clear about kind of where we initially were, our thoughts were going with Visitor Center in general, not related to management, but especially where it's located. Obviously, nobody really likes it where
Could
it is.
Have told everybody, or I think I did tell everybody that.
Yes,
did say that.
We made a difficult situation work. What I think our long term hope is that the Visitor Center will get back closer to the downtown and the Embarcadero. The Centennial Parkway project, that's hopefully going to be a very large major link between the downtown and the Embarcadero, would, in our opinion, would be a very healthy fit for that, because the intent is to get people from the Embarcadero uptown, and it's exactly why you put the Visitor Center where it was in the first place. So we've talked about this being an interim step to move it back there. The management aspect of it, that's what I hadn't considered. I don't want to scare the chamber. They obviously have a 2-year contract, but if tourism is under the city of Morro Bay, it's very common that visitor centers are managed by the Tourism Bureau, and I recognize that that's why it was changed in the first place. This is what has occurred. It's not a bad idea to continue to look at what that means for the future related to the management. I will be honest, I don't know that I can say that we can put that in this plan.
Right, no.
But what we're trying to be is more strategic, more thoughtful, and more long-term, and about setting up things. You've raised the concern to me about we just need more time to try stuff. And, you know, we're trying to set up some mechanisms that will put it in writing, respect what's happening, and it's all in writing. So the only thing that's going to change in the future is it's not in writing. So does that make sense? So there's opportunity to talk about that in the future, but I don't know that would be part of this.
Okay, thank you, because I won't lie. I'm as a consumer, as a hotel operator, that visitor center has been it's really disappointing to see where it came. There's been very little traffic over there. It's not what's best for somebody driving into Morro Bay, and it's not what's best for the people that are staying at my hotel.
Thank you for sharing. I appreciate it.
Honest.
I want to pop in there and say you're right. The reason why we went to the model that we're at now is to laser focus tourism, to put everything into the tip of the arrow so that it reached the visitor, and to more efficiently reach the visitor. There was a study done that we needed the visitor center to be the link between downtown and the Embarcadero to create an economic driver. And it's interesting because the visitor center report was just done, right? And for October, they have the count done. And October of 2014, I know that we saw 1,400.
I think it was 1,200 something, and it's down to like 400.
And I can see it. I can see a move and some of the changes taking place and affecting it maybe, 15% in terms of people reaching the location being a little confused or something like that. But for me, that gap, and this is not anything against the chamber. It's not anything against the visitor center staff. They are terrific. I think it has to do with location. When I talked to some of the retailers in the downtown corridor, their business was way off in October. And part of that is because where the visitor center is currently located, folks pull in, and then they get back in their car and they drive away. I know from owning the Pleasant Inn and the Beach Bungalow downtown, and now the Embarcadero Inn on the Embarcadero, folks come here to walk.
Yep.
They come here to walk. They say, can I just park my car for the rest of the weekend once they get here? And so we're missing that opportunity right now, I think, that connected those two spots, and that's a goal. I hear that, and I'm glad about that. I can't stress how important it would be to look future-wise to put that all back under. Because what happens is we market, and we don't hear the feedback on marketing. There's a disconnect. There's a gap. There's a disconnect now. So somehow we need to get the visitor center to the table here, regardless of what happens.
So it is a benefit to hotels. Ha!
Wait. How's that a benefit to hotels? What do you mean?
I don't think it's necessarily a benefit to hotels. It's a benefit to tourism. It's not it's that necessarily creates a head in bed.
It's a benefit to the destination.
You know, it is. And it helps when that customer is at my hotel, I can have them go walk 2 blocks and find out where to eat, what to do, where to shop, and where to play.
Yep.
That's what it is. So does it actually put a head in my bed? Not necessarily. But does it enhance their experience in Morro Bay?
Absolutely.
Definitely.
Which could create a head in the bed in the future.
Definitely. Oh,
when,
yes.
When I
yes,
had the Pleasant Inn.
We're a little off topic, so
we are a little off topic, but very quickly.
I feel really bad for Brent right now.
We were referring, the hotels refer to the visitor center, and it's easy to do that when it's downtown because most
Absolutely.
Of the hotels are located downtown.
Yep.
That's what I'm trying to say.
Absolutely. Thank you.
It's really important for us to be able to refer to the visitor center.
Of course.
In a walking situation.
Yep.
Okay.
Thank you.
Let's get back. I think my last 2 cents on this whole model is going to be the hiring of the staff and the DOT and trying to put some type of mechanism in there, because I don't want the T-bid board to just be a recommend make recommendations. Again, I'm going to go back to that. So I don't know if there's a way to put that in there, but I do think it's really, really important that we speak the same language. And no disrespect, but when that very first staff report came out and we had no RevPAR, no TOT, and no occupancy in that report, to me, that's not speaking the language of the hoteliers. It's not speaking the language of what... or to the stakeholders. This is an assessment that the stakeholders have, and we need to all speak the same language. And so when we hire a director of tourism, when we hire staff, they need to understand the hotel business. It's just factual. They have to understand it. They have to understand city stuff too, but they have to understand the hoteliers, which is why the TBID board is so important in the hiring of the staff, because... they need to understand what they're selling. They need to understand what they're doing, not only on a destination standpoint, but on a hotelier standpoint as well. So I think that's another point that's kind of really big to me. And again, that visitor center conversation, I know it doesn't have to necessarily be in this, but I do think it, again, goes to that focus of what we're trying to do. So,
So if I could respond to that really quick.
Yeah.
That's a conversation you and I had in my office as well. And that's one of the most difficult parts of this is, again, I'm as staff, I've been tasked with doing something, and I'm working on that. And when it comes down to, and I just think it's important to be honest, this is an advisory body. It makes recommendations. It would be very difficult, I think, for me to say that you have some type of other power above and beyond what a traditional advisory body would have. And what I said to my office, I think, is still pertinent, and I think I said this to Ms. Solo as well, is that it comes down to trust. There has been a lack of trust in the past, and the only way I think to repair that is to show how it can be different. So if it occurs, there's no real way to show you that it can work well until it does. And that's the difficulty of this process.
And I think that's perfect, which is why my request has been give us a few months to build that trust.
I understand.
And I think we've moved hills. Not mountains yet. I think we've moved hills in the right direction.
And if that's the recommendation from the board, great.
Right.
We'll bring whatever your recommendation is going to be. We probably will still bring them what they asked us.
Right, the staff. Right.
But we will bring whatever recommendation it is. So if the majority of you feel that this should be on hold, make that an official recommendation. We'll make it happen.
Right. Okay. So I think we've all gotten our two cents on the staff report. What I'm going to do, because there's been a lot of conversation, I know Joan and I, sorry, took up a lot of this time on this, but I think we've got a lot of new board members here, so I'm sorry. I hope that filled in some, hopefully it helped kind of give a little bit of background. So I'm going to kind of go around the table just one last time for process, make sure that if there's any last points, I know Taylor's got notes over there writing, and some people are writing some notes. So I think it's important to me. Again, I don't think we have to make a recommendation today. I think we can bring it in December.
Absolutely.
I think this conversation...
By the way, it'll be a special meeting again, because you don't actually technically have a TBID meeting in December.
Right, but
we'll make it work.
We'll hold it, exactly, which thank you for making the special meeting today. But I love this conversation. I love the collaboration. I think this is how we solve things. And so I really appreciate that we all give our two cents and speak as we should. So saying that, are you ready, Taylor?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Okay, I'm going to you.
Okay. All right, so I wrote a bunch of notes, and I can't say how healthy this is with you here, Sam. I think that was a key piece, and I've said that before. And I have a lot of notes, and I need to wrap this up because I do have to get to work. But I wanted to say, after I looked at all my notes and I'm listening to you guys, I have two things that I wanted to point out. One thing is that I feel like I'm hearing the city coming to us, or more like it's coming to the hoteliers in a way with this pitch, where they're basically, in my opinion, they're saying, we realize now that tourism is really important and it's essential for the future of this city. And it has to do with streets, police, fire, trees, water. It's essential. And what they're saying to me is that they want to invest in tourism now, but they need to be part of the decision making to do so. Thus, it's their responsibility to invest. And that's what they're saying. And in a way, it sounds like they're saying the good pitch is we want to match funds in a way. It's kind of what it says to me if I was pitching to the hoteliers. And the hotelier pitch that I'm hearing is, well, we're already winning. So how will this pitch better our heads and bets? Okay? So the insight that I'm gathering from the notes that I wrote for myself. This power of executive decision making, it should be about money, because that's what we're talking about. That's both the big goals that I'm seeing. It's about money, and it shouldn't, because it's the objective of the goals, right? And it should not be about the style. You know, nobody on city staff nor on city council has the experience, the skills, or the professional motivation that the hoteliers or the professional marketer like Brent or this advisory body has to create this best package for this tourism. So for me to be on board, I want that to be clear that I totally see that the city wants to get involved, but I think that it needs to be clear that it's really important that we have these professionals who are, I love my words right there about professional motivation. What's motivating? It's their skill set. It's their experience. It's so important. It's more important than just a regular advisory body, because it affects, it's about money. And I think that has to be remembered, that although the city council has to have a decision making in order for the city to invest the money, and the city staff needs to be involved too, because that's the city council's power, they still need to realize that the professional motivation of this board, the hoteliers, your professional marketer person who you're hiring, it's key. And you have to separate that. That the style of how this marketing is done, that needs to be up to these professionals. And we all agree that the objective is to raise more money and get more tourism.
Thank you, Taylor. Aaron?
I don't have any real tremendous value to add to the conversation. I think that everybody on the board here has been very thorough with their questions. Mr. Taylor, your responses has been very thorough and candid, and I think that's really the important thing for all of us to move forward here. Mm-hmm. So let's keep the dialogue going. Permission swinging into your office and just having the quick conversations, I think, keeps the rapport built. On all of our parts. Stop and say, hey, I thought about this. We thought about that. Keep the email chain moving along and create a concise plan. Thank you.
I'm going to go down to the far end there, Todd, on you. Comments?
Talk about a first meeting for me. Wow.
Yeah,
this is just the first section. It's neat to see the city trying to be involved with the tourism board. Tourism is important, and to have the city involved in it is an important connection. You know, you got to put the pieces of the puzzle together to get the job done. 14 pieces by themselves are just 14 pieces. The synergy can be a blessing. I don't have much to add either. I've loved all the viewpoints. I need to take this in a little bit deeper myself as well. So I'm more of a ear guy today than a mouth guy today, if that makes sense. Thank you.
No, fair enough. Jane.
Well, it's all an interesting evolution, because the TBID board was formed to be an advisory board. The money is owned by the city. Mm-hmm. What happened is the city just gave this board a rubber stamp. So we've been operating it like it's our businesses. It isn't. Okay? It isn't. So now the city says, hey, we want to take the authority back a little bit and keep you as an advisory board. What this board did was then form the 501c6 to execute. So we said, okay, we're an advisory board, but we want to also execute and be our own business. But again, the way it was formed, it's really not a business. So we need to become less convoluted. That, I think, is important. But also, there is a sense of professionalism. And we know what we're doing, because we care about monetarily the success of the monies that we, those of us on the board and all the hotels that we speak for, we care about that money a lot, okay, and what it's being used for. So I think that it's important for us to digest it, and also it's important for this board to go out to the other hotels and discuss it with them. You know, we need to go out too and discuss it with them and let them know this is what might happen, what might not. And there's a lot of questions that need to be answered. I agree. I love Taylor's input because he's a member at large, and that is really important, what he says and how he views things. And I think that giving more time to us and more information from Sam is going to be extremely helpful to make the next step, whatever it is, successful. And that's what we all want, all of us, the city, the hotels, this advisory board, the restaurants, the retailers, everybody. This is the driving engine for all of us. So I appreciate the time.
Thanks, Jane. John, last comment?
Well, first of all, I appreciate the conversation by the board and by Sam. I know Sam, you know, I know getting, you know, information, so many questions thrown at you, especially questions that sometimes you don't have all the information in front of you, can be difficult, so I appreciate that. It's meant to be a respectful dialogue and just get good information out there so that we can so that we can move forward. Some of the conversation we already did have in your office, and some of that was included in the staff report. I have some items that I could recommend, but what I'm hearing from the board is that we may be waiting until December until we get more feedback going. So I'm not sure that today is the day to do that now. So I don't know if the board wants to hear those things so that they can digest that and maybe take that back in conversations. I'm not exactly sure where the board is at with that. I mean, do you want to hear what?
I would say if you've got recommendations and you've got 2 cents, I'd say tell the board so we can all think about it and digest it. But I think as a full board.
It would be helpful for
board,
staff to consider it too.
Yeah.
Okay.
Staff agrees with it or not, we can try to wrap in. I mean, what I've tried to do is seek a balance between what I think is the goal and stakeholder stuff. So again, not everyone's going to like everything, but I'm trying to find a balance. So please share and we'll see what we can do.
Well, I too think that so I'm glad we have a Sam. So because for the entire length of the TBID board, we have not had an advocate for tourism on the inside of City Hall. We have had advocates for tourism in pockets within the city, but we have not had advocates for tourism, and I'm talking about all tourism, and I'm not talking about lodging, for tourism, events, the whole thing, only in pockets. It's been in silos. It's been, I think, what John Heading calls a disparate groups of people. So I am glad we have a Sam to try and get all of those groups together. I want to be very clear on that. But I recognize that you have a lot on your plate also. So I'd like to see us work a year with you. And I won't be on the board, so that means you guys would be forced to do it. So I want to see you guys really work.
Pardon? Forced to work with me? Come on.
No, that is what I meant. Forced to do the work is what I meant. So have you guys do the work that needs to be done to, foster the relationship so that there's a better understanding of how the mechanisms work to be symbiotic. I would suggest that we go back to having monthly TBID advisory board meetings held jointly with the Tourism Bureau Board. Since they mirror each other, we've had joint meetings with the Chamber of Commerce before, joint meetings with CPC. I know that it can be done, and that, I think, would eliminate the confusion for the community that's noted in the staff report. And I think it would eliminate some of what the city may see as bureaucracy. And it's funny because bureaucracy is a funny thing. It really depends on which side of the fence you sit on. Because for us, when we look at the flow chart where there's, you know, three boxes and then four boxes on top and our box is off to the side, it looks like six levels of bureaucracy were just inserted on top of the decision making. for the city, sitting on the other side of the fence, they look at the Tourism Bureau as a layer of bureaucracy to their ability to make nimble decisions. So it really depends on what side of the fence you're sitting on. And somehow I think that if we work together for a year, we could come into the full respect of a mechanism that would work for everyone. I love the fact that Taylor brought up money, that it wasn't a hotelier who brought up money, because I think a lot of times we're confused being, you know, money-focused here. Well, that's the job the city kind of gave us, right? I mean, what are you going to do? It's marketing and money. So I would say that we need to work together to do those things, have joint meetings. I would assign a subcommittee from the TBID Tourism Bureau Board to work to assist the city with the visions, values, and goals as associated to tourism and the city in general. I would say that the reason that we did the current model was to get away from the disparate organizations and to bring the structure in. And, you know, just the billboard, I think working with 14 different organizations shows that, you know, we're doing that. And I think if the city is involved with understanding that day to day, that would be great. I would like to give the city, our partner, a place at the table at the Tourism Bureau, not only as an advisor, but also in terms of accountability of staff. And I don't like to talk about staff in front of staff. It's unfortunate that this is a public conversation. I feel a little bit like it's horse trading of people, and I don't think that's right. But that's kind of the system that we work in. So I'm going to apologize to staff right now. But if the city had a greater voice, I think, in the accountability of staff, the city might feel a little bit more comfortable with the Tourism Bureau contracted mechanism itself. So I'd like to see the board make a recommendation on whether that's through the review process or through whatever the process is, that staff and the city, that there is an accountability and a communications process that they're working in together. And I think that goes both ways. In terms of if this falls under the city, the advisory board should have a level of accountability for staff because they're really trying to push that arrow point. Let's see. I do think that if this falls, irregardless of whether it falls back under the city at some point in the future within the next 2 years, I know that the contract will be ending for the visitor center. I think the chamber is got professional staff. I want to be very clear. The chamber has very professional staff. And I understand that the city is looking to do something with the location in the future. And I would like to make sure that we move that recommendation to move that along by the, you know, to have that be a conversation piece within the next 18 months, because 2 years comes up very quickly, within the next 18 months of how we fulfill on the visitor relationship through that visitor center and how that works. I would like to see some type of business plan. I know that Sam's saying this is conceptual, so it's early for a business plan. I like the SWOT analysis. I think we should be doing a SWOT analysis or having somebody, like I said, who's a professional in tourism come in and say, is this the best model? And then this is extremely important. Should the city council decide to take the model back in-house, it would be my recommendation that they not do it under a year-to-year 1989 Act TBID, but that they move immediately within the next 6 months to doing a five-year 94 Act through a nonprofit, which is going to work directly. The direct oversight of that nonprofit is with the city. Very similar to how the city just approved Visit San Luis Obispo County or how the state is structured. And that it include vacation rentals, RV parks, and that there's a two-year goal to get to a vote place on retail and restaurant. And it needs to be a goal with a specific date. And that's some of the things that I just want the board to think about. And I know I've had these conversations with you, Sam, you know, privately or whatever, but it's good to my questions were meant to get our conversation for everybody to think about, because I think it's hard when you have a conversation in a room to just highlight that in bullet points for both, for anyone. So to get all of that out. So that's what the intent of my questions were, not to put you in the hot seat.
Okay, thanks, Joan. Okay, so what I'm hearing here is that, what am I hearing from the board, guys? Do we want to push this off to December? I think I've heard a couple members state that they're very new, they'd like to see us, so we'd like to see this back to a special meeting in December. Maybe then, you know, Sam and I can maybe work a little bit on what changes he makes to the staff report, if any, and highlight those to the board. And, you know, we do have to remember the Brown Act, so we can't be emailing people back and forth. Please remember that, because we now have kind of a bigger board now, so we can't be having conversations outside of this board in groups.
Now that we're six, is three a quorum?
No, your quorum is always the total membership of the body. So it's seven, so it's four is a quorum if you speak in three. I would always, but just from an ethical standpoint, try to not talk to each other outside of these meetings if you can. I know it's hard because you're also hoteliers, so.
Right.
Related to the business of the board.
Right. So so what I'm hearing, so real quick, can everybody just kind of peek at their calendars? Because December is a tough month. So while we're all here and together, and I don't send emails out, can we just look at what our availability would be for December?
Michelle, why wouldn't you have it on the second Thursday?
Oh, okay.
Maybe we could do it after the bureau meeting this time.
No, because everybody leaves. Okay, so just looking at the calendar, what...
Second Thursday is the 10th.
The 10th. Okay, so perfect. So I wanted to just make sure it didn't fall into a holiday or anything.
Can we start earlier?
I've already got a markdown.
Okay, perfect. So more than likely, everybody mark your calendars for December 10th on a Thursday, and we will more than likely try to do maybe an 8 or 8:30 meeting to try and get this started a little earlier, because it is hard. 9 o'clock, we're almost at noon, and I know I've got a couple board members that are going to have to leave for our next meeting, so we're going to have a problem. So what I'm hearing right now is we will bring this back in December, and I will encourage everybody, I would like us to make a recommendation to City Council next meeting. I do not want us to leave December 10th without an exact recommendation.
Yeah, one recommendation.
Can we please, we all have points, we all made some questions. Can we funnel what we said to one person, whoever it is, and this is where somebody being a secretary would have been nice, maybe then to Sam, give them all of our questions, and then Sam, would you give them all back to us? I think we should be having a subcommittee
so
meeting.
So you're always welcome to contact staff directly one-on-one. I'm happy to speak with you one-on-one. That's not a violation of the Brown Act. When you funnel stuff through one person, that becomes a serial meeting. That is a violation of the law.
Oh, okay.
I would absolutely do that. And also minutes, yeah, as well. We're gonna have those minutes written out, and so we'll be able to review that as well. But please don't ever hesitate to contact me and ask questions or tell me I'm an idiot or whatever. You know, I want to hear from you directly. I try to set up meetings. It's important that you all have that outlet to the city. So.
Yeah, and that's what we can't. I would say just we can always go back. I won't lie. I go back and watch tape sometimes to go clarify something. Mm-hmm. So that's something. Remember, you can go on to AGP and clarify that too. So, and what I would suggest is just on December 10th, everybody brings kind of what they think for their recommendations, and then we can sit through and hash them all out and, you know, try to come up with a consensus. I mean, I think we all agree we want this to be successful. We don't want to see things go away, but we need to try and figure out how can we all compromise at the table.
I will also try to get the staff report out as fast as possible, as early as possible, so that you can have more time to spend with it. I will also email you all the website section. It's actually under Hot Topics related to tourism management, because this is a big
Hot
discussion.
Topics.
So we've put information there for you to read and the community to read. I'll send that to you all. Also, what I typically do when I email a board is I blind copy all of you, and then I say in the message, I say you've all been blind copied, so it's clear for the record. But that way you can't hit reply all and create a chain. So.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. So,
other than
great.
Hoteliers, how much community input have you received? Other than hoteliers?
Sure. Off the top of my head, this is a quiz.
No, I didn't mean it as an inquisitive. I was just curious.
We've received input from just various people from various organizations and just probably more of those interest groups that have shared thoughts than average citizens. I think the most recent direct contact I received is from Linda Merrill, who always shares her thoughts with all of us. But we've heard input from other organizations, Marble Bay and Bloom. The Chamber has shared thoughts. Obviously, they've issued a statement on it. The average citizen has not provided us with any input. It's people that are paying attention.
Can you provide that information to us as well so yes. we can understand what the community is saying? We haven't.
Sure.
If we haven't seen that.
Yeah,
and because I'm not,
absolutely.
You know what I mean? That could
yep.
help.
Yep, okay. I'll forward those.
Okay, so seeing that we're losing members, I see already. We're dropping
yep.
like flies. This is what happens. Okay, so we will all see this back December 10th. Be prepared. If any of you have questions, you can reach out to Sam, mm-hmm. And he can answer any questions. You can reach out to Brent if you need to ask any Bureau side of the questions. And then I guess I'll look for or declaration of future items. Does anybody have any declaration of future items?
No.
Obviously, this will be back on our agenda. Any other future items
If I could
add?
Recommend for the special meeting, let's just have one item.
I completely agree.
Get right to it.
Yeah, no, I agree. So we'll just basically have this meeting, this same topic will come back. And then I'm looking for a motion to adjourn.
Moved.
Second.
All in favor? Aye. Opposed? None. Okay. So thank you, everybody.
Motion. I feel no. weird. They should have stayed for at least that.
You don't need to make a motion.
Just put her on.
So Nancy, I think she's going to open
yeah,
up.
Yeah.
I feel
you're all by yourself.
Thanks, everybody.
I'm sorry, Michelle. I feel
am I on? Am I good, Nancy? Or?
You're ready.
Okay, so just wanted to let everybody know that the Morro Bay Tourism Bureau board meeting that was scheduled for 10:30 a.m. today, Thursday, November 19th, has been postponed. We do not have a full quorum, so we will not be able to call the meeting to order. So we will postpone the meeting to a future date. And everybody have a happy Thanksgiving, and we'll keep you posted when we move the meeting date. Thank you very much.